Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Have you tried to access your bank's website? By a widespread cyber attack. Banking
association. For all of us,
I still believe in marriage.
Really sure on behalf of
and that love will conquer all. I've been hurt, but not to see. Regardless
to what has happened, I still believe. For banking customers in any real trouble, settle.
Still believe.
As of this point, it doesn't appear that any customer information is affected.
Still believe in predestination and eternal presence. All things work together for my good. Opposition comes against me. I proceed. Cause no matter what I'm facing, I still believe.
Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you. and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spending in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin and Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman. And he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Anne Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com. Or hit us on Facebook, or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time, and that's what we do at HeartReach, and we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more, and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
Welcome to Afternoons. It's your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on the 29th of September, on the 28th of September. I will not rush it away. Don't forget that you're listening to us on WSLM and slow this down. And don't forget that Oktoberfest is starting on Sunday, and they want you to come out to Boardman Park. It's a fun and it's a lively event. I enjoy it. I've been at the Oktoberfest for many, many years now, and welcome you out there. Jeff's in studio with me, and it is 10 minutes after the hour. Here, give me a Jeff, turn off some of those mics.
I did.
Okay. The number here is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you today. It is open mic. Got some clips I want to play. Next week I'm working on getting some stuff sanitized because I, you know, I can't let them cuss and I can't cuss either, and I can't play stuff that's cussing. So I got to sanitize some stuff, but we're going to talk about it next week. I am very, very concerned about some of the things that are going on in our society and in our community at large, and I'm having a problem, and I told Jeff this as we were coming up on air, I'm having a problem with people being disingenuous about what they say they believe and what they are doing. See, I don't have a problem you telling me the truth and then me making a choice about the truth that you tell me, but I have a problem with you telling me a lie and then me following your lie and you calling it truth.
And I'm supposed to go right along with you and say that your lie is the truth.
I do go along with you.
There's no doubt.
I do go along with you because I trust you.
Uh-huh.
I believe that I believe that you would never lie to me, so I trust you enough to follow you, and you've been lying to me, and I have a problem with people who are telling people, and they're twisting stuff, and they're giving us itching ears. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. But, again, it is open mic. Yesterday's conversation, I'm sorry that I had to get off and deal with some other stuff and deal with fitness and family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But those are the people that make things happen, and we appreciate what they do for us because without them we would not be here, literally.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring that conversation up because that conversation about the African diaspora. I'm sorry, the Africana. What do you say? He's an African something. What's he? He's an African.
I missed that part of it evidently because I caught you just before you switched over.
He's an African something. Bill called in from Alabama, and he was talking about Claude Anderson, and we were talking about how he feels about religion. And see, the reason why he feels that about religion is because he believes, like I believe, once you find the truth, you're supposed to go tell it.
Yeah. What religion was he having a problem with?
It was all of it. Any organized religion.
Uh-huh.
And my issue is, I can see why you would have a problem because you would think once I found the truth out, I would go back and tell you, you know what, I was wrong. Here's the truth. But that's not what happens.
Uh-uh.
And see, that's a problem. That's why people don't want to play. I'm serious. That's why people don't want to play with us. Because, they find out that we find out the truth, but we keep on telling the lie because the lie is easier than the truth. And so instead of me telling you, say, coming out and say, you know what, I was wrong about telling you all that Red was going to send you to hell. Because I'm serious. I ain't lying. At one time in the sanctified church, you couldn't wear red.
At one time?
Well, if they still there now, they got
a lot of them are still there. I had an interesting discussion about that. And somebody was telling me that I needed to get in my prayer life because I didn't support President Obama, right?
Excuse me?
Now, that's from one of those holiness churches, holiness. And so I said, and then I needed to get the mind of God. I trust God to direct me. And so I said, so God is directing you to vote for somebody that wants to double down on killing kids and calling what God called an abomination good, which is
You're joking, right?
No, I'm not. So they were telling they didn't cuss me out.
Jeff, you're joking, right?
They didn't cuss me out, but I should read something.
Jeff, you don't read. But Jeff, you're joking, right?
I'm not joking. I wish I was joking because it was so pitiful. It hurt me. I was really hurt.
I can get along with people saying, I just can't vote for him. I can't vote for neither one. I can get along. And I'm saying that.
Sure.
I'm not saying that, but I can understand, he's a Mormon. I'll let you slide because I know that I can feel your pain. But my question is, how do you go out and endorse a man, endorse a party who didn't want to name God in your whole platform? And you say, with the separation of church and state, that's the ignorance of America.
That's the ignorance of church people if that's what they are, because I do not believe that those people have, if they're saved, they are just that, in my book, my opinion, if they are Christians, true Christians, then in my book I say they are absolutely saved by grace, and their mind has never been renewed. You can never choose unrighteousness over righteousness, or you have no choice in the matter. To me, because the scripture is very clear about when you choose to go with certain people. When Korah and Dathan were in rebellion against God, Moses told them, say, hey, whoever wants to be with them, you go on our side. And whoever wants to be with us, you come on this side. And guess what? Korah and Dathan and them were swallowed up. See, nobody want to get swallowed up these days. God ain't doing that like that. But, you know, they don't want to get swallowed up. So they're not.
I don't. But, Jeff, I'm serious. I'm serious.
And I'm very serious.
Instead of them telling the truth about a situation,
mm-hmm.
This is really, you can tell, it's really getting to me. Tell the truth on the brother. You know, don't just all willy-nilly just let things pass like it's an okay moment.
We must.
And
we
I was
must.
Watching Sean Hannity last night, and I want you guys to know, Coulter is a nut. I ain't never liked her.
I don't like her either.
And I'm trying to tell y'all, I done found out about more broke clocks this election season than ever before, because it's a broke clock.
She's right now. That's the problem. See, when people get on one side or the other, the disingenuousness of a lot of people, especially on the left, I see it more on the left than the right, is they can never admit when somebody on the other side is saying something correctly. They dog Herman Cain, call him Uncle Tom's and store-bought N-words and this, that, and other, not understanding how did this man rise. If he's such an idiot and so stupid, how did he rise to be able to afford to run for president of the United States?
But now, but I want to slow down, Jeff, because I got to go back to what I was saying. I said last night I was watching Sean Hannity by accident,
because
mm-hmm. I'm telling y'all now, I'm not a Hannity fan either.
I have to watch him. But I
don't
want
him. You have to watch him. I don't have to watch him. I don't like him.
Yeah.
And so I don't.
Well, I hear you.
And so he was repeating some stuff that I said. That's what made me pay attention. But he had Juan Williams on. And he had Ann Coulter on, and they were debating black people being Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann Coulter was eating Juan Williams for brunch.
Sure was.
I said, the clock is right twice a day.
Well,
wow.
Well, see, the basic intention, see, this is the thing. Sometimes we buy into this thing that a lot of the Republicans out there, even though we're not talking about our politicians, but the preacher Republicans like her, are prejudiced. We buy into that. Ann Coulter may be because she pointed out some very heavy facts, how Rudy Giuliani's crackdown on crime in New York City made the city safer. And she said it, and it helped a whole lot of black lives in that city.
But see, we don't look at lives as commodities. I'm coming to that resolve. It's only a commodity if a white man does it. It's a throwaway if a black man does it.
Well, see, this is my point.
And you know, one, they were talking about the dysfunction of the African American community, and they brought up this woman in Cleveland who was talking about vote for Obama so you can keep your phone. Because if you vote for Romney, he going to come get your phone.
He'll come get your Obama phone, right? Because there ain't going to be no Romney phone.
Right. Ain't gonna be, but the problem is, even if there's not a Romney phone, why would you bring that up? That's just ignorant. But and he said the same thing I did yesterday. It's a mindset.
And it's a voting mindset.
It's a mindset. And this mindset is killing us. 540, your mic is on.
Yes, good afternoon, Tracy and Jeff.
Hey.
Hey,
how are you?
Early this morning, I was up and doing some traveling, and I happened to catch Red Eye Radio. And I'm trying to find out if some of the information that they were putting up on the air is true. They were talking about the major shift in demographics with the... I don't want to make this too, you know, politically incorrect, but if their facts are correct, since the 2008 election, the Democratic Party has lost major blocks of black voters, or just the voters, period, not necessarily black voters, but they were looking at the demographic shift that has taken place, especially in the urban areas. And then the day before, we hear that there's four major polls out that have made a major shift in the way that the so-called polls are indicating a huge shift towards Obama being elected. And I know for a fact that George Soros and I'm trying to think of the other guy, Rupert Murdoch, are two of the largest, most powerful owners of media, whether it be radio or television or printed news. And those men are part of the liberal left-wing agenda. And it brings to my mind, are we beginning to watch the beginning of a manipulation prior to the election to make people who are either not committed and or perhaps nominal Republicans feel like we've already lost? What's the sense of going to the polls?
No.
That's why they're doing it.
They hope it will work, but I don't think it will.
But do you, Jeff, perceive that to be part of what's taking place?
Absolutely.
Through the news media, because let's face it, the liberal news media has a much broader readership and listenership than conservative talk radio, television, or what few publications are put out by the conservative side of our country. And as such, they have a much bigger, broader impact, because the few people that are being informed by those types of media, are they not being manipulated to believe that their side is winning and we, you know, it's like people have a tendency to want to pile on when things are going well. Look at YSU football. For 3 years, they weren't doing real well until, what is his name, Wolford came in?
Yes, Eric Wolf.
And now that they're starting to come back a little bit and show some strength, they're filling up the stadium. And I think this is what's happening. The Democratic Party is ginning up the publicity through the media and trying to get more and more people, when in fact, if the information put out this morning on Red Eye Radio was correct, that many of the Democratic strongholds are losing, even in especially the swing states, because people are coming off of the rolls. They're finally cleaning some of these decades-old voting records.
That's not bringing them up to date. That's not the issue.
And I'm just wondering what your take would be on that.
That's not the issue. They're not losing votes like that. They're losing enthusiasm for people to come out and vote. That's why you saw the president go on The View and go on David Letterman.
Instead of meeting with Netanyahu.
Right. Because, remember, there are more people that vote on American Idol than they vote in the polls. So he is becoming the entertainment president, and he gives you warm, fuzzy feelings, but there's no substance to what he's saying.
I don't disagree with that, Tracy, but my point is, if there's this beginning of, if not already, an established way of manipulating the thinking, they're going to affect people who haven't made a decision yet, perhaps. They're not going to change my mind. I have to vote this guy out of office. I don't like the direction he's taking our country.
You know what? I got jumped on a little while ago. For saying, you know, that, you know, I didn't really like either side, but I'm probably going to have to do something now. But I wasn't going to, but I am forced to do it. And you know why? The foolishness that I see being printed on Facebook, and I see the ideologies of some of these people that are just plain uninformed. And they tell me I'm uninformed and I don't know nothing. And I bring example after example right in front of their face, you know, of what's going on, and they just completely ignore it. I must vote for the new one. I must.
Well, that,
set it out because I don't agree with some things on the Romney side. But he's going to be much better of a manager than what we have now, and not a liar like I see is going on right now. How do you lie for 2 weeks now that the ambassador was just a happen chance moment that these people got upset about some film, which they probably put out themselves to explain this? It's crazy.
Well, they've already been exposed, because there was internal memos that are finally surfacing that the day that that attack took place on September the 11th, they're pretty well aware that it was a terrorist attack. And the internal workings within the White House and the power brokers around President Obama were using that exact terminology, and then they trot out their little news head there, and he says, oh, this was just one of those accidental incidents that took place, and if anything, it was because of that film that was brought out. That film had nothing to do with it. It was just a scapegoat that they found convenient. But now they're starting to tell the truth. So my question is, the people that want to follow this kind of ideology, how do you know when he's telling the truth and when he's lying?
See, this,
adage that if a politician's lips are moving, he's probably lying.
But look what they've done. The majority of people paid attention when it first happened, and they said they blamed it on a film. Now, by the time that the truth has come out, getting that information back out to all those people that they were disingenuous about the information that was out there seems as though it's a conspiracy on the right to make the left look bad. And so people tend to believe now nothing than to believe what is actually the truth of the matter. Because remember, the media is in on this.
It's just like when the newspaper makes a mistake on the front page.
Correct.
They print a retraction on page 8 3 weeks later. Who cares?
Correct.
And that's the exact approach that the Democrats and their political advisors, as well as the news media, which are in their pocket, that's exactly the approach they're taking.
And
they bury it on the fifth page. Nobody's going to read it or hear it. And they move on to the latest thing that will titillate the interest of the people.
And that's the problem in a nutshell. Because remember, our news media is very, very disingenuous in reporting the actual facts or truth of anything when it comes to this administration.
They have an agenda. And if those facts run contrary to their agenda, then they'll just turn the paper over as if they gave the news. It's like watching somebody on TV at our local news media. If you watch them without the teleprompters, they used to write their notes out. And as soon as they were finished, they would turn that page over and go to the next page. Well, now they're just flipping the pages over whenever it disagrees with their thinking or the direction they want to slant the news, and moving on to the next item until it fits their bill.
That's the problem, and that's where the American electorate is getting snowed. If you don't do your own research, if you don't pay attention and dig deep, you'll never know what the truth is right now. And they're not telling the truth about President Obama. They are being very, very disingenuous in the manipulation of his campaign, and that's why he's on The View and not at the United Nations.
What's sad is that there's so few people like you and Jeff and a few other conservative talk radio programs that are able to get this information out into the general public. I tell everybody I can to listen to your program locally from noon to 3, because if nothing else, you're a light shining in our community, and the fact that you and Jeff are people of color hopefully will have the impact in your own communities that
I ain't promising
a commentator never could.
I'm not promising that one.
Well, I understand that. I understand that because you're pushing a big load uphill. But there's going to be those few people who are smart enough to at least listen and evaluate for themselves whether or not you're telling the truth or whether you're lying. And that'll come to fruition real, real quick.
I pray so. Listen, I've got to take a break. I got another caller that's coming in from 334-207. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie, that That's right. You can get Charlie Stable barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back to sick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. One man is dead and a woman is injured after a shooting in Warren. It's the city's fourth homicide of the year. Police say 21-year-old Jeremy Cole was shot to death shortly after midnight yesterday morning in the 2200 block of Oak Circle Southwest. A woman, Melissa Putnam, was shot in the hand. Police say they have no suspects. A Mahoning County judge sentenced a 38-year-old man to 6 years in prison for the shooting death of a woman who was found dead inside his home. Gregory Carlini admitted to killing 33-year-old Erica Elford, who passed away last February. And the Republican challenger in Ohio's Senate race says that changes are needed in Washington to push action on the budget deficit and national debt. State Treasurer Josh Mandel told a small gathering of supporters in Cincinnati about his proposals, which included strict term limits. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Salem Quaker football returns to News Talk 600. Friday nights on AM 600 are the home of Salem Quaker football, presented by Stadium GM Superstore. We cover Salem Quaker football from the opening whistle to the final play of each game. Brought to you by Stadium GM Superstore, the law offices of J.M. Shade, the Salem Community Center, Ambassador Driving School, Crab Insurance, Hackster & Company, Salem Tire Service, and Pizza Hut. Salem Quaker football, only on News Talk 600 WSO.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day. Today is Friday, the 28th of September. We're at the end of the month, and I am looking forward to this upcoming Sunday. We're going to have Oktoberfest, and so we want you to come out and hang out with us if you're here in the Mahoning Valley. 833-4207, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing? It's Bill from Alabama.
Hey, Bill from Alabama. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I heard you guys mention my name earlier. I'm getting famous. But,
yeah, you are. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But listen, I like to do research. And I heard you mention the gentleman, I guess you're talking about 269. And I think
right, I'm talking about Michigan.
Pan-Africanism is what it's called.
There it is.
Pan. Yeah, but anyway, I guess I have a little piece of information I'd like to share that's
okay.
Rare that I find that you can't find it in any history books. It's hard to find on the internet, but you can, it's a particular book you can go on Amazon and look up, and there's a gentleman, I posted on your page. If anybody's out there, they can go look on your page and see this post about, it's something called Sundown Towns.
Right, I was listening to it before I came up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The reason he thinks like that is because if you look, you got 10,000 towns across the country where people, black people, Jewish people, certain people weren't allowed to dwell after a certain time. And, you got 432 cities within towns within Illinois where that happened. And land is wealth for people. So, if you deny people that right, then they're going to not be able to amass certain amounts of wealth, certain wealth over a generation. And this happens for over a long time up until he even talked about some just now stopped running their sirens up in, like 1999, 2002. So what I'm saying is that when you see someone like 269 who's more so a Pan-African, then, I think it's a response. And I think it's good for every other American to know that's non-black to understand. So when they see someone like the lady I saw from Ohio,
oh, you saw that
I think
too,
it
huh?
comes from another play. And I ain't going to lie, the lady's ignorant.
there.
Yeah, I'm not
but it's a mindset.
It.
But it's a mindset.
The mindset comes from, I think it comes from, it was created by, you know, it's her fault. She chooses not to go out the knowledge and wisdom and understanding herself. However, to look at a certain people's place and say that everybody's there because of handouts, they just want, they have a mentality of laziness. I don't think that's the case. I think it has been used through the government, and this is documented. Nobody told you, you got 10,000 lynchings by the Klan that are documented. You got 500 books written about lynchings, but you got one book written about sundown towns, but there were 10,000 towns, and things like Rosewood, that happened a lot. People were literally ran away from their property, and it was redistributed to Caucasian people. I mean, what's going to happen if you do that? You know, it's going to look like it does. So it's kind of, if that helps people to understand that it's not just people. That's why I'm real sympathetic to when I hear someone say that they're upset or they're angry. I'm just seeing how you handle it. But to sit up here and say, well, they just, you know, I think a lot of times as conservatives, we have to be careful, because what we'll do is just put these people in a category of just being hate mongers and just really, you know, I think
I don't look at it that way. What I look at is, I look at people, and I'm going to play something in just a moment. If you've got time to hold on, I want to play this. I'm looking at a brainwashed people, a people who have been entertained and desensitized to the actual truth and the actual facts of what's really going on. And because of the desensitizing of them, they are being led almost like the Stepford Wives, or almost like you've been hypnotized. And because of it, you are walking in lockstep, and you are not going against the grain anymore, because you feel as though you've achieved something.
This is the catalyst for that.
Hold on.
This is the catalyst. It's stuff like the sundown towns is a catalyst for these people to be easily brainwashed.
And that's what I'm saying. But then, as you heard me say yesterday, and I will probably continue to say this, I believe with all my heart, African Americans are the control group for a more global control group. Or should I say population control, or control of a population. It is a control group by, I don't know where the spooks are in the clouds, but because of one world order, they're going to need to make sure that they can have a controlled population that they can control. And it's a new wave of slavery, which is different than the bondage and the chains that of old time. But if you really look at it, most of us are really, really slaves, because as a matter, we're worse than slaves, because some of us are not even eating well. At least the slaves ate well and had a decent place to stay a lot of the times. We don't even have that. So we're going to work every day. We think that we're stepping up, and actually all we're doing is marching time. Hold on just a second. Listen to this.
Ministers taking a stand with a message to Christians in the black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide. The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot hide being black. I need not recount to you the painful history of slavery, Jim Crow, lynchings, and sterilizations, all because of skin color. Anyone who dares equate the so-called gay rights movement to the history of black Americans is exploiting the black community. They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this. Yet the Democrat Party has now declared same-sex marriage an official part of its platform. And black Christians remain in that party? The civil rights establishment has embraced the lies and betrayed the black community and God Almighty for 30 pieces of silver from the Democrat Party. We as Christians ought to know better. Shame on us for allowing ourselves to be sold to the highest bidder. We belong to God. Our ancestors were sold against their will centuries ago, but we're going to the slave market voluntarily today. Yes, it's just that ugly. What do you call it when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins and paid the price for our freedom, and you join in covenant with a political party that doesn't even want God mentioned in their platform and gets offended at the very mention of Jesus' name? If your pastor tells you to vote for a party that disrespects Jesus, you need to leave that church. Black pastors are also going to have to answer for whether they serve Jesus or the Democrat Party. The black community will never prosper by betraying God and following leadership that curries the favor of the Democrat Party. It is time for Christians to have the faith and courage to refuse to associate with a political party that has over the years become anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-life, anti-family, and anti-God. The Democrat Party is also becoming increasingly anti-Israel, and God said, I will curse those that curse Israel. Do you want to be cursed with them? It is time to come out of the Democrat Party and to refuse to support its candidates in their rebellion against God. It's not about party, but principle. It's not about race, but righteousness. And you will stand before God to give an account for your choices and motives. We don't need the Democrat Party or any party. We need God. God will take care of us. It's been a long time coming, but the time has come to take a stand. Come out from among them. Exodus now.
And the number is 347-945-5229. What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, I heard this last week, and I posted it on my Facebook. So no one got one response.
Not one.
I got one.
Oh, you got one? Mm-hmm. Bill, what you think down there in Alabama? What you thinking?
I found it through, you know, I love Alfonso Rachel, and he posted it. I found it and posted it to my brother. I left it. The only thing I hate is that he ran for office because people will say, well, he's a whatever. Instead of saying he's just a pastor, because I think his name is Bishop E.W. something, right?
Jackson.
Yeah, him, he's good. I like him. I like his argument. I like the way he put it together.
But I think he was right. He's absolutely right. The biggest problem is, you know, I alluded to this months ago, and, You know what, Covina, man, you need to just shut up, okay? I have to, because you're the one doing just what you're saying, voting for the people that are destroying your people. They're the ones that make the legislation for the inner cities, and they give you handouts, and you don't get nothing for it, and you never rise above it. And more of your people is on aid per capita than anybody else. That's what you do, voting the way you vote, sir. Anyway,
don't nobody know what you're talking about.
Well, they're talking about that this man is Uncle Tom, and he's stupid, and he's dumb.
Know what you're talking about.
I was trying to get it back around, but you know, because he thinks like this, waiting for the white man. No, you doing for the president's white men in this world. They belong to one party primarily. Now that don't mean that everybody, you know, that's in there, but I'm talking about the ones that have an agenda. To kill you, okay? And you,
Jeff, they don't want to kill us. They are friends.
Yeah, they're your friends, but they support
Jeff,
killing
they
your
come,
baby.
They come and have a beer with me, Jeff.
12%.
Jeff, they have beers with me. They eat my chicken. They come and they like
the
my.
The man was right.
Jeff, they like my friend. They my friends.
The man was right.
Jeff, they're my friends.
If we're gonna
we're
do something
about
well,
my
well,
friends,
okay,
Jeff.
Okay, well listen.
My
listen.
Friends in the Democrat Party,
that's
they
okay.
love me.
Okay, they love you. But check this out. You'll do much better loving yourself. If you make whatever party shop your vote,
no, Jeff, I don't have to shop my vote.
You
trust
your president?
I love him. I love him.
That girl cracked me up.
I love him. Bill, you okay over there? Because I know you feel the same way I do.
Oh my God.
Well, my thing is, I agree. I just think that a good place to place the, I guess the indignation would be one party is telling you if they get rid of food stamps, it's going to kill you. The other part is telling you if they go in the womb and kill you, it's going to kill you. I think it's an easy decision to make.
But you know what, Doc? It's more than just going in the womb and killing you. That ain't the only thing they're doing to kill you. That they have you on social programs that for the poor of your group, it's also for the poor of all groups, but for you in particular, and you never get off of it. You have generations of people that can't get above it. You know why? Because they lull you into not thinking. Amusing.
Jeff, I don't need to think.
No, you amuse yourself
by
watching Jerry Springer,
Jeff,
the afternoon program.
Hold on, Jeff.
While they
Jeff,
give you
Jeff,
a check every
Jerry
month.
Jerry Springer comes to town. He's my friend. I like.
I met Jerry
Springer. He was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yes, he was.
You leave Jerry Springer alone. He's a smart man.
And the ghetto in Cincinnati is just as ghetto as the ghetto in any other city.
That's
run
different.
By Democrats.
That's different, Jeff. That's different because they're my friends.
Yeah. Well, somebody tell me, explain that one to me, please. Anybody that can, 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. Am I right, Tracy?
No.
Explain to me why the inner city.
No.
Look crazy.
You ain't right. The number's 347-945. You ain't right.
Why we look crazy?
Because.
Huh?
You and Uncle Tom sell out Republicans.
Yeah, but we supposed to look crazy?
Yeah, you are crazy.
No, not me. I'm talking about our city. We supposed to look like those people. That
yeah, you're savages. And we control you right there where you are.
And who called us savages? And who called us mongrels?
Well, we're a mongrel.
Oh, okay. You're a mongrel.
You're a mongrel.
You're a mongrel.
You're a mongrel. Hey, Bill.
Yeah,
I got it. You know, it's Friday.
No, I can't say what I was going to say.
I'm just saying. I'm just.
I was going to play the dozen on you.
No, don't play the dozen.
No, I love your mama. I ain't going to say nothing about
dozen.
Your mama.
Don't play the dozen.
But you know, because
I can't handle a dozen today.
My point is, the Ku Klux Klan been calling us mongrels for years. Now the president comes on The View and calls you a mongrel. You know, we're like a mongrel race. Yo, you a mongrel race.
Listen, Jeff, this is the issue, and I played that little clip because I really want people to realize. I had a call this morning, and the man said, Tracy, why are the inner-city preachers still standing up for the Democrat Party and Barack Obama and not speaking out against what he said, what he's done, and what he's going to do? And I said, I felt like Scooby-Doo. I did.
Yeah.
You know,
when you get into the church, though, I mean, you're getting into a lot of. That's not the only thing I see. I mean, you got a lot of openly gay choir directors. You got a lot of. They do them with a lot of hypocrisy. So
but let me
start talking about them supporting the fact that a guy is. You know, I think it's all the same, really. I think until they admit that one is wrong, they're not going to admit the other.
But let me say this. I got to see. I'm going to say that this way, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it this way. I don't have a problem with gay people being in church and in the choir. And when I say that, I mean it because there's no one inside the church that's truly whole.
There you go.
And in the church, even though you might be doing whatever you're doing, I'm not going to condone what you do. So I'm not going to say your fornication, you lying, you gossiping on the phone, you sleeping around, you whatever you'd lusting, you homosexual, you whatever. I'm not going to say none of that's right. Because the church is built up of everybody who's really, really sin. They're sinfully evil. They got iniquity in their heart. And you come in there to get clean. You come in there, but I'm not going to call what you do right. From when I stand up in the, I might be a drunk. But when I stand up in the pulpit, I'm not going to call and say my drunkenness is right. And I'm not going to tell you to go out and get you a 40 and tip it to your boys and get drunk. Because I'm held by a standard of the Word of God that tells me that drunkenness is not of God. But
I don't think
that
an elder and a deacon like Tony, not Tony Evans, what's the guy's name? Eddie Long.
Yeah.
This situation, when it happened like it did, it made the church look bad because people are so loyal to their pastor. And I'm saying to myself, he is a man. He can fall just like the next person. And that, and people are like, well, you can't judge, quoting the scripture completely out of context instead of saying, well, wait a minute, Timothy talks about qualifications. You got, you know, the Paul said in Corinthians, shall we not judge one another in the church? Let the outside judge the outside. But inside, we can judge sin and call it what it is. And then Paul says, expel this immoral brother from amongst you. He's an unrepentant, openly unrepentant homosexuality in the church to be expelled.
I agree. When you say expelled, I don't think he ought to be put out. I just don't think he ought to stand up. How's that?
Well, he said, well, back then they talking about break fellowship. He couldn't come in. Back then it was meeting houses. It was about communion. He couldn't. Communion was a meal. He couldn't come into that house and participate in the meal of communion, which was the centerpiece before pastors started, before the Protestant revolt. The centerpiece was the Holy Eucharist. So he, at that time, they were talking about the meal itself of communion. He couldn't participate.
And I agree.
Because he was unrepentant.
I agree, but what I'm saying is, I'm not going to, the Bible says, come as you are. I know myself, and I'm speaking from myself as a Christian and as a believer, that I ain't always been right, even in my Christian walk. So I was still singing in the choir, and I probably shouldn't have been there when I look back in retrospect. I should have been sitting in the pew somewhere crying. So I'm just, but what I'm saying is, and what I'm finding out is,
Let me make a distinction, because I think that the people in the church get a bad rap. When I say it's a sin and it's wrong, I say openly gay, unrepentant. I didn't say somebody who's molested that struggles with it. I'm not talking about people that, and somebody said, well, there's no difference. I think there is. I think there's someone
different.
Who knows. I've talked to a person who's been molested that struggles with it, because I modeled in New York for a while, and I talked to a gentleman that had been molested. He told me. He struggled with it. It's wrong. He knows it. He knows it. And that's different. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with, I'm a pastor. I'm openly gay. I'm this. Now, you're just going to just urinate on all what the words say.
You can't be openly gay and be a pastor. That don't make sense.
Like the mega church in Atlanta.
You can't be openly gay and be a pastor. You can't do that. There ain't no such thing. That don't make no sense.
But see, you know where that comes from? To me, it comes from people valuing emotion over the truth. And I think when you go to a church, and that's what I have a problem with in the black community, that's why these pastors are still backing Obama. It's about feeling emotion, the spirit, a good choir. And when I say the spirit, I mean that they think, well, you know, pastors are anointed. It's just people don't really just say, does this match up with the scriptures? If it doesn't match up with the scriptures, Obama's clearly... In opposition to the Bible in
absolutely.
Many areas, and
absolutely.
So, we've been able. I mean, you go in the church and see a fan with Obama face on it. I mean, it's
all
kind
over.
Of, yeah, and then you got one pastor. I was at a church and he said, "Well, you know, God gave us Obama." And I went up to him right after service and said, "Well, you know, I name all this stuff out, and well, you know, God don't want us to say that the pastors that the president that he said something about God." Not going to allow the president to be a Christian. It doesn't have to always be a Christian. So I'm saying, well, why would you say God gave us somebody that's going against everything that God stands for, that's covering up the cross when he's giving a commencement speech?
My God.
He's supposed to be a Christian. And I've told this to believers, and they'll argue me down. I would be ashamed to defend somebody that if I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian for anything else. I'd be ashamed to defend somebody that covers up the cross. What did you say? Why did you have to have it covered up?
Because he wants to make sure it's sanitized.
You worry about Muslims
wanna...
like that? Well, maybe they'll see the cross and start to think about what it means and be one of the Christ if you really are a Christian.
I'll give you a for instance. He cannot identify himself with Christianity in any way and will not. Okay,
I think
he's
atheist.
He's not. Right. If he is, he could be, but I think he's more agnostic and because of his views. But he definitely favors Muslims, and so we can say what we want. But how do you still report in a week and two later that this attack on the Libyan and Egyptian embassies were not
were caused by somebody's film that had been out for 3 months. Okay, but it was caused, it came on 9/11 now, 9/11, but it, here goes a problem with the, you know, it was an uprising, a spontaneous uprising. They had mortars and doggone RPGs. Don't nobody just have an uprising and, well, let me grab my mortar fire. At a protest over a film, and they wanted something done about it, so now they arrest this guy, and supposedly he has a previous, and he's in violation of his probation.
But this is, but Jeff, all of this, when you look at what's going on here, and I know that we're in end days and end times, but that's not the issue.
Yeah, I hear you.
But the issue is the body of Christ will not and is not in the black community. And when I say that, because I'm putting a lot of people in the body that probably think they're there, and they may not be. But I have people standing in pulpits across the nation not telling the truth about what's going on in this time.
Absolutely.
They preach a whole lot of stuff. They got a whole lot of $100 offerings. And they want you to stand in those offerings and help them out. But they don't want to stand up and tell the truth about what the Bible says about where we are and what we should be doing. And don't tell me with all we got to do is pray, because that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
And the faith without works is dead, and what's going on right now is an abomination unto God. And America is standing in the gap of this. And the people are in the inner cities are being disingenuous in what they say they believe and what they're standing for. How in the world? And then I have a question for you guys. If President Obama was a white man, would they be as vocal and as affirmative to this presidency as they have been?
No. Oh no, yeah, because they would have made up all kind of thoughts. See, the
Bill Clinton could have got away with taking God out of the platform, taking Jerusalem out of the platform.
He wanted to, and he did.
But Jeff. He was the first black president, but
the first black president. What did he rule? You know, what did his departments do for black people?
Well, the same thing this was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious.
Honestly, you could make an argument that Bill Clinton did more for black people than already. I mean, you can make that argument.
How?
I don't look.
That's
a
my
few
point.
Programs. Hold on, that's a few programs. There's a Workforce Investment Act. There's some programs.
Community Reinvestment Act is what you're talking about. And the community.
No. I'm talking about the Workforce Investment Act. That's a whole separate one. That's because I actually participated in that program. If you're unemployed, they'll pay up to, I think, $10,000 for free training to go and learn. And, you know, that's actually how I got into what I'm doing, which is IT, because I was unemployed at the time. I had a bachelor's degree, but I wasn't employable because I didn't have any IT experience. I don't know if anyone in your crowd understands, but if you're in IT and you don't have any experience, you may as well. It's like having a GED. Nobody's going to give you a job.
Right, because you don't know what the bugs are.
I got the training, and once I got that, I was there. But even still, I'm just saying, I'm not saying Clinton was the best president. One thing Clinton could do, Clinton saw the writing on the wall and said, okay, these Republicans got in here in 94 for a reason. Let me go ahead and work with Newt Gingrich to do something. That's where, and see, what's the name? Obama has bought into his own hype. He thinks he really has a complex of – he really thinks he's a messiah. So I really do think he is.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with you.
You believe that he's reading his own press?
Mm-hmm. He thinks he's some sort of messianic – I remember when he got inaugurated, the look he had on his face when he walked up to the stage to speak at the inauguration, the way his head was held. Arrogant. I mean, he is super arrogant. Like, he is, this guy literally thinks he does. And I mean, that's him, though. If he wants to think that way, that's him. But I think it's costing him. But I wanted to add a point about, we were talking about the religion thing and the Arab Spring and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a book I read some years ago by a guy named Robert Spencer called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam. And he goes back and he cites all types of seems about Islam that people. Yeah.
Bill, do me a favor. Hold on. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. See you in a moment.
Holding, or have you had trouble using the Maps application on your iPhone? The company is aware of it. It's embarrassed about it, and it's going to fix it.
The message is, we're sorry.
Apple apologizes more than any other consumer electronics company that we cover.
And gadget managing editor Darren Murph says Apple bosses promised to fix the glitches in the iPhone Maps, and he applauds the corporate contrition.
They're willing to swallow their pride, get their CEO out on public record, apologizing.
At the same time, Darren Murph says,
people have a short memory when it comes to this stuff.
And he expects the Maps problem to have a short shelf life. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
5 days to go until the first presidential debate, and both candidates are preparing for the showdown.
Overnight, a senior advisor to the Romney campaign sending a memo to Romney's surrogates, setting expectations low, writing President Obama is a uniquely gifted speaker and is widely regarded as one of the most talented political communicators in modern history. Romney will practice again this weekend after holding a series of mock debates with Senator Rob Portman of Ohio playing the president. The president, meanwhile, travels to Nevada this weekend for 3 days of prep. Senator John Kerry will play the role of Mitt Romney.
ABC's David Muir. TSA screeners in Orlando failed to notice a loaded handgun in a woman's carry-on bag yesterday. Travelers at the airport today were shot.
Someone with a handgun on an airplane, that could cause all kind of problems.
That's real scary. They should do a better job.
It's disconcerting.
The woman was a firefighter from Orlando. She remembered the gun mid-flight, and she flagged down authorities when her flight landed in Newark, New Jersey. A generation of racing fans grew up listening to Chris Economaki.
It appears as though his turbocharger let go. It's the same kind of trouble that befell David.
There he's discussing driver Bobby Allison's mechanical troubles during ABC TV's 1973 broadcast of the Indy 500. The man known as the Dean of American Motorsports has died. He was 91. The Dow is down 51 points. This is ABC News.
When it comes to managing your diabetes, Bayer's new Contour Next EZ blood glucose meter makes testing easy. You also get exceptional accuracy because it uses the next generation Contour Next test strip for close to lab test results. And all this at the lowest everyday price of all major brands. You can find Bayer's new Contour Next EZ meter at your local retail pharmacy. Just ask your pharmacist and upgrade today. Bayer's new Contour Next EZ meter. Ease, accuracy, and savings. Now that's a powerful combination.
The Great American Fix-Up is going on now at the Home Depot. You'll find the newest selection of carpet across every price point. And you can get whole house installation on all special order carpet for just $37. Make a room full of difference. It's all part of the Great American Fix-Up, going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
A Connecticut man trying to protect one family member ended up killing another.
This is just so upsetting.
When a woman in Fairfield, Connecticut, thought a burglar was outside her house late at night, she called her brother, Jeffrey Giuliano, living next door. With gun in hand, the brother approached the suspect, who was wearing a black ski mask.
According to him, the intruder lunged at him.
Town officials say Giuliano fired his gun.
And he killed the intruder.
When they pulled off the ski mask, they discovered the horrible truth.
The intruder was actually this man's son.
Investigators say the 15-year-old boy was apparently attempting to break into his aunt's home. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Transit officials fired a San Diego bus driver they say brought marijuana-laced brownies to work. Other bus drivers unwittingly ate the brownies but pulled their buses over and called for replacements after they started feeling the effects. The bus driver who brought in the brownies claimed he didn't know they contained pot, but he was fired after a hearing. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got...
That's one small step for man, one giant...
Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and millions watched. One was a farm boy named Bill Johnson.
We were poor. We didn't have much, but we did have pride in our country, and I wanted to serve.
Russian leaders today watched a display of Soviet power on parade, and tension between the superpowers continues.
That's when Bill Johnson answered the call.
I spent 26 years in the Air Force and was proud to retire as a lieutenant colonel. Then after a few years in business, I saw a new threat.
Today, Congress passed Obamacare, and local Congressman Charlie Wilson voted to approve it.
I knew Congressman Charlie Wilson was wrong to cut Medicare just so he could help Barack Obama pass Obamacare. And I knew I had to do something. That's why I started this fight, the fight to bring back jobs and to save Medicare.
Join the fight. Visit BillJohnsonLeads.com and vote Bill Johnson for Congress.
I'm Bill Johnson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Johnson for Congress.
Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on Thursday, October 11th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandi Kelly called Stigma and Mental Illness. You are not alone. Dr. Kelly will talk about the stigma of mental illness and how to overcome feelings that mental illness might set you apart from the rest of the world. Find out more. Call Turning Point Counseling Services at 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste it,
welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WXWSOM 269. Your mic is on, South Carolina, your mic is on also. We're sitting here in studio. It is open mic today, and I don't even know. Bill, you were talking about something. The number here again is 347. What's the number here, Jeff? 347-945-5229. You guys have to excuse me. It is Friday, and I'm a little slow today. My sinuses are bothering me, and Benadryl is my friend. Benadryl and NyQuil. And so I think the effects of both of them are still in my system, and I'm still a little woozy. So Jeff is in the studio with me. Bill from Alabama is on the phone. Bill is in my Facebook page. I see Tea Party Vets and Computer Guy in the chat room. If you go to TracyandFriends.com, you can go there through Blog Talk Radio and get in the chat room and see what's going on there. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio. And we want to hear from you again. It is open mic today. Go ahead, South Carolina. I see your mic is on. And, Bill, if you had a comment.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to finish. Well,
go ahead,
don't worry about it. It was just a book I wanted to recommend about, it just really shows a lot of things, and it really breaks down why there's 15% of Muslims don't see anything wrong with killing people. I mean, it just talks about the verse of the sword being one of the latter verses that it was written, and they believe in something called abrogation, which is the last thing he said was what was really meant. So even though a lot of people in America may feel like it's okay to, you know, we're peaceful, this and that, chronologically, the last verse, which is the verse of one of the last verses, verse of the sword, talks about, you know, kill the infidels where you find them. And that's because, you know, he had been defeated, and that's when he was a little bitter near the end of his life. And so that's when he wrote the Pope a letter saying convert or die, and there's just a lot of stuff. And if you go back, like that movie Kingdom of Heaven is really just a big distortion, because in light of, if you go back and read the first call for the first crusade, you know, the Pope was saying, look, you know, they're threatening to us to either convert or die, and I'm calling all Christians to come and defend, you know, fight them off, because they had already came up all in, going up into different areas and taking over. And that's what it was, they were the aggressors, so to speak. So that's the thing. So, you know, and also, if they come to
the book?
Always,
what's the name?
The politically incorrect guide to Islam. Like
okay.
Spain, that's why they feel like they own Spain, because once you conquer something in Islam, it's like Dearborn, Michigan, they probably feel like it's theirs. Now, if they try to raise up and somebody force them out of Dearborn, they'll come back 2,000 years from now and say, this is ours because we once, you know, conquered it. That's how they feel. So
it is that. It is theirs. I don't know why you're playing.
That's just how they feel insight-wise. That's how they how they look at it. So that's why it's 150 to 200 million of them that, hey, let's kill the Jews. They don't see anything wrong with that. And that's the problem with somebody within that religion is going to have to come along and say, hey, you know, this is, maybe we need to reassess abrogation. Maybe we need to reassess, you know, at that point. But that was all I was trying to say.
Jeff, you had a conversation with a friend of ours this afternoon, this morning, who's Islamic. He told me he was sitting down talking to Al.
Yeah, sure. So was.
Okay. Did you have a conversation about the movie, anything like that?
No, you know, we didn't get into that.
What kind of friend are you?
No, I'm a very good friend. I'm a good friend. But they know, I had a conversation with his brother-in-laws, three of them, long time ago. And somebody at the register asked me about, you know, something in Revelations. I was working at that time.
Okay.
And I said, ultimately, the Israel is not going back into the hands of anybody else. I said, because God said once they return to the land, that they'd have it forever. And his brother came, you think the Zionists are this? And I said, whoa, wait a minute. No, I don't. I'm just telling you by our Bible what I believe. Now, I'm not saying that
you guys
don't deserve this, that, and the other, because you do. But I don't think biblically, by what we believe, it's not going to work that way. So I don't discuss that with them.
Okay, okay. Because
that went over like.
Okay. South Carolina, I see you got issues with Whoopi. I hear you're in love with her, and you're going to divorce your wife and marry her.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Me too, and then divorce her and get half.
Get half.
You know
Jeff's going to get half, and I'm going to get the other half.
All right, that's right.
Listen, you know, they literally, I don't know if anybody saw that yesterday, but they literally hijacked Ann Coulter yesterday on The View.
Oh, it came up on.
Yeah, Ann Coulter wrote this book. It's called Mugged, and it talks about how the Democrat Party has basically used and in a sense, abandoned the African-American people. And, boy, they didn't give her a chance to talk at all.
That must have been what they were talking about with Juan Williams last night on Fox, on Hannity, because I didn't catch the whole thing. She was on point.
Yeah. She was beating them up. I mean, they were upset. The girl sitting to the left of her, comedian, I can't remember her name, but she was real upset. Well, I know what my grandmother told me. And she's like, well, you know, just look it up. History says that she's naming off names, dates. They just look stupid. Like, it really looks so, we're closed-minded. We're not going to listen. We want to believe Democrats are for us. We don't want to hear the other side.
That's exactly what it is.
But it's a Democrat show. I mean, we got to realize, you know.
Why is Hasselbeck on there then? Because it's like she would have thought, I would have thought she would at least co-sign.
Have you heard of Job?
Yeah.
Hasselbeck, I mean, every once in a while she'll come on and say something kind of to let them know where she stands, but she don't really want to just come on out and just say, look.
Have you heard of Star Jones?
Yeah, what about her?
She ain't working there no more.
That's right.
Well, what did she do? I can't remember.
She crossed the wrong one on the wrong day.
I don't watch it,
but I know if you cross the wrong one on the wrong day, you're not going to stay there long.
That's true.
So you got to learn from other people to say, don't be stupid. Don't cross Mother Walters, or you will be out of a jabby job.
Yeah, real quick. Alabama, how far are you from Huntsville?
About 2 hours.
Oh, 2 hours, okay. One of my boys is playing on the festival down there tomorrow.
So South Carolina, you said that you fell in line and you ready to go, you ready to, you know, hook up with Whoopi?
You know what? I'm not gonna say that, Tracy. I'm not gonna say that. If I do, my mama would come over here with a switch and beat me. Because she said, if you can't say nothing good, keep your mouth shut. I have no idea why they would not listen to the woman yesterday. Everything that she said, every point that she got in was on point. But
it's almost too much like truth.
Well, yeah, and Joy Behar, why the AT-double hockey stick is she even on that show? I mean,
can you say liberal media?
Oh, you can say, yeah. And she wanted to know. Whoopi asked her, "Well, what do you know about being black?" And it had nothing to do with about being black. It had everything to do with what is being done to black people.
You know, you can't say nothing about black folks if you ain't black.
I think that's what Whoopi said. Ann Coulter said that the best thing to happen to America was the O.J. Simpson trial, because that basically got rid of white guilt about black America.
See, you know what, though?
You
know what? I would love to see a black conservative that will get ignorant. But he's right. Because I think sometimes they don't understand talking normal. Like, she was trying to talk and coming with facts. Sometimes you just got to out-scream them. And just tell them to overpower them. She had to be, Whoopi Goldberg started cursing. She needs somebody to really say, okay, what about the 55 murders in Chicago that the Democrats run? What about the strike? What about the worst education in the system? What about, just pardon me, they failing. They are failing, period. Now, what you got to say about that? What's your option? What's your plan? Why don't you run for office since you're so pro-Democrat? You got to be able to get smart like Al Sharpton. But come from a conservative. We don't have that.
Jesse Peterson on there. That's why they don't invite Herman Cain or Al.
Hold on.
Herman Cain was on there.
Not about that.
But you got to realize you have to have a base to get up there, and you got to have some backing. And if you don't have the backing to get to where you're going, and because that's why you don't see a whole lot of conservatives like that, especially African Americans. Because remember, when we are attacked, when we African Americans, and I go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier or a couple earlier this week about culture. Culturally, we have an emotion that seems as though we're attacking you, and we can make you feel bad quick because we're still black, whether you like it or not, and not everybody can handle that.
I haven't seen a conservative that can do it. If a conservative could do it,
we treat everybody equally.
And go word for word, then now the ignorance doesn't get you an applause. It's not, okay, now I have to be right.
Remember, we're equal. So I will bite a black person's head off just like I'll bite a white person's head off equally. And white folks don't want to back you if you're going to bite your head off, too.
Because she up there talking about, you know, against Republican. I'm sitting like, your boyfriend showed up in blackface, didn't he? And you stayed with it. Like, if you want to call me, man, you want to talk about Sambo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could really go there with him. That's what I'm saying. You got to have somebody. I'm not at that point.
I'd have gone there.
Yeah, I'd have went there. Like, you got a boyfriend showing up in blackface. You're going to stay with him. And you
I'd have gone
you,
there.
You're the freaking step and fetch it, not me. You know,
Thank
that's what
you.
I did.
That's my that's my point, because, you know, the ones that step and fetch it, and, you know, these people crack me up.
Who, Jesse, you mean, or Al Sharpton? Tell me Al Sharpton ain't kicking it right now.
Do you remember when Al Sharpton was Obama, he ain't done this yet, and he ain't blah, blah,
not
blah,
not my
blah,
color.
Blah.
Might be my color, you but know, not my kind.
And then Jesse, we want to castrate him. Now, after them checks started rolling,
no,
you ain't heard a word.
That's my boy. That's my boy. He better for us.
You ain't had a word.
Hold on just a second. 269, your mic is on.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm going to write y'all sponsors, because y'all ain't doing a good job of convincing blacks why they should be Republicans.
We weren't trying to convince you.
I ain't trying to convince you.
We don't want you to be Republicans. That makes less room for me.
Oh, I got the wrong show.
I want you to be more conscientious
about the Republican show.
No. Listen, show. No.
It's talk radio.
Wait a minute. Like, after all is said and done, what are we first other than our beliefs? We're Christians first. Number two, we're black man and black woman in America. Okay?
And when when we walk out of here, you can't tell if we're Republican or Democrat, unless I got a red, white, and blue elephant on.
That's exactly. So here.
I'm sorry. I'm an independent voter. I was looking for a Republican show where I could get some Republican ideas.
No, this ain't it.
No.
Wrong show.
Wrong show. Because here, check this out.
Well, why y'all obsessed with talking about Democrats all the time then?
Because y'all crazy.
Because
85% of the think tanks that are quoted are from left-leaning think tanks. That's why 85% of the media is liberal.
And
this is the only
that,
medium that you have where you can get conservative. This is the only thing that's holding back the council. To be quite honest. This is the immune system, man. You know, we got to drain the lymphatic system sometimes.
Check this out. 95%
to a Republican show so I can get some Republican ideas to see if I want.
How about just get ideas that's going to make you think?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You want some ideas that's going to make you free. And here it is. 95% of black people, 90% vote Democrat. And so our problem is not that they're in the Democrat Party. Our problem is that they're in the Democrat Party and they get used every election cycle and get not a doggone thing in return. And so we all are out because there ain't enough of us in the Republican Party to sway to get enough anything to get to change our state in America. But the only thing is the Republicans are at least chipping away at some of the things that do destroy black communities. One is
make the argument that yesterday when Whoopi Goldberg attacked Ann Coulter about the book and she said about being black. You go with a guy, you had a boyfriend that showed up in blackface while you were dating him and you wanna tell us about the black, you get what I'm saying? I don't care if you are married or anything. Blackface is very disrespectful. That right there says a lot. So when you show up trying to emulate man tan, that's just disrespectful. And that's your boyfriend.
Why are they doing it on? Wait a minute, Alabama. They doing it on Saturday Night Live. Remember, everybody that's imitating Barack Obama as a comedian ain't black.
That's right.
Wow, hello. You're right. Well, you know what? He's mixed, so they get a pass.
I ain't mixing that.
I'm gonna tell you what makes you more of a Sambo though. Makes a person that really is just so pro Democrat, unwilling Sambo is that you look at people like Bill Maher, the comments that he makes about black people, even though he says it as if he's trying to help us, he really thinks we're inferior. He really thinks we can't have an ID, we can't vote, we can't do a lot of stuff because we don't have ID. So watching black people don't have, so they can't vote, they don't have any ID. They all ride the bus. I'm sitting like, what?
And he said it out loud.
And that guy gives Obama $1 million. And
Obama says, okay.
And
we're not upset about that. I'll be like, oh,
we're
not
upset about that.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. We know that the Democrat donkey stance where you'll never get your 40 acres and a mule.
That's exactly right.
Another word comes right after that. And we still, if I could tell people that, they still going to go push the Democrat button all the way through. I hate to say saying pessimistic sometimes, Neil Boyce. I think it's over for America. I think it's too many people like that lady in Cleveland. I think it's too many people like that, and they're growing. It's like they're just multiplying like rabbits. It's hard. It's hard to really, you know, I'll lose my voice trying to out-talk and out-debate people like her. She's screaming and on top of her lungs. I wouldn't even try to talk to her. You go push your Democrat.
I'm going to get my Obama phone.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know. He gave us a phone.
He gave you
he
a phone. How did he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I'm watching. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
You know what?
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know. He gave us a phone.
He gave you
he
a phone. How did he give you a phone?
Hey, that was it. I mean,
the most intelligent part of that statement was when she started talking about the types of. Think about it, the only part that made sense where she seemed like she was talking coherently was the part about, okay, if you have the qualifications, she knows what it takes to get the. She knows what it takes, but she can't qualify.
Do anybody know where that taste came from?
Out of Cleveland.
It came. Governor Romney was here in Ohio. Day before yesterday, and this was the protesters that were protesting him being in Cleveland.
You know, that lady is from Toledo. She's from Toledo. They had her in Toledo. They had her. That's the same
thing. Did anybody have the videotape of that?
Yeah, it's in the chat room.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube.
Oh, yep.
And you know what? Here, check
sound
it out.
Sound like one IAT, don't it?
Well, here's the thing. You know what they do?
I mean, we all got a family member like
this.
This
is what they do. And They have admitted that they pay people $11 an hour to go and protest against Republican candidates.
That's
now,
good.
Republicans don't do that, okay?
They
don't go and do the crazy, stupid stuff like that. We'd rather just lose than to play some stupid games like that because it's not real.
Romney brought some people in to applaud when he came into the NAACP.
No. Listen, I can promise you one thing. Republicans ain't paying nobody to do nothing.
No, and they bring in an entourage, maybe, but they did not bring in.
That's because they too busy putting their money overseas.
Well, that's not insane. Now, check this out.
We're doing satire. I thought let's do it on both sides. This look like a satire day. Don't look like y'all, this ain't no serious discussion.
But that's not true.
Wait. What'd you say about money overseas?
I was getting ready to say money overseas.
I did.
Samuel Jackson is worth the same amount of money as Mitt Romney in America. $150 million. So my point is this. He's up there cussing on the film, F this, do that, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to play that next week, Jeff.
Yeah, because we can't play it.
I got to clean up the ad from Obama before I can play it. That don't make no sense, but go ahead.
I'm lost how people now all of a sudden corporate welfare is a big deal, but the Democrats, the ones wrote the done bailouts. Now, that's not. They got in office in 06. I love
Thank
what people
you.
Say. I love it because now you're walking right into what they wrote the stimulus bill that they upset about Bush. It's crazy. Like the people forgot the 06 election when they got in. They always wrote it.
That's true.
All these jobs going overseas. They wrote the stimulus bills that they Republicans say, well, the national debt is $16 trillion. Well, $4 trillion of that, Bush wrote the stimulus bill. Wait a minute, y'all wrote the stimulus. He just signed it.
No. If you look, every presidency does multiple stimulus bills. So, I mean, if you look at a Democratic stimulus bill,
auto bailouts, all the bank bills, the bank crash.
One at a time, guys.
Go ahead.
And the Republicans, they have stimulus bills, too. Now, if you want to differ with what's in the stimulus bill, but the intent of the stimulus bills is the same, and that is to continue to help corporate America. That's come on both sides. That's neither Democrat nor Republican.
I'm going to let you in, but I want to say this. We need to understand something. We need to realize that all money is green. And I'm really tired of Republican money being demonized and Democrat money being glorified. Because don't tell me that everybody's not taking the same shelters. They're just trying to get in office. This is about power and manipulating the people to get you in a class warfare because you don't have as much money as us to play. Go ahead, South Carolina.
So my question is, when Bush bailed out the banks and AIG and everything, if I'm not mistaken, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but that money has been paid back with interest.
Not all of it.
Mm-mm.
No. Not that much.
The bank card's been paid back, but not the not a lot of the stimulus like the Solyndra money, green jobs,
shovel ready jobs
that never weren't quite shovel ready. All that money got spent put in. Nancy Pelosi got $750 million. They made a lot. They split the money and put it in their pockets.
It wasn't a split the money and put it in their pockets. Let's break this down. When you're looking at Wall Street, the people who are the CEOs of Wall Street are paid by the stockbrokers, and they're under contract. So all those golden parachutes you saw, if I quit my job or if you release me from my job without my contract, it's almost like Don Imus. He had a contract with CBS. Or MSNBC. So even when he got fired, even because they wanted him to go, they still had to pay him the $40 million they owed him.
Right.
Because it was in his contract. So we need to understand this. So it's not like they put the money in their pocket and they went. If you fire me and I'm under contract, you got to pay me. It's like a prenuptial agreement. It is what it is. What happened was they used it as a cushion. They never distributed it to the people like you and I who are at the bank who lost everything. Because the laws that were written and the bailout that was written, it was a half-baked bailout, which means it never went down to execution to where the people actually felt the relief from the bank bailout. So people's houses still got foreclosed on, and all they did was restructure their own personal debts for the shareholders.
And can I add something to that?
Sure.
This is where I think particularly the ones out here on this show. Y'all blinders. It's all y'all got some shades, and then at a certain point in y'all thinking, they fall down over y'all eyes and y'all miss certain things. And
like
what? I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you two examples.
Please do.
You guys bring up the Margaret Sanger, right? And the Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all stupid. Them the Democrats. Now watch this. If you go look at the history of who has been funding Planned Parenthood. See, this is where...
No. Stop. Give us who... You going to make a statement. You going to make a statement, then you going to tell me who's funding Planned Parenthood. You can't just leave it out there like that.
The two of the biggest funders, the Bill and Gates, Melinda, the Gates Foundation.
Okay.
That's one of the major.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now, I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but let me tell you where you can go get them from. Okay, so you can go look. But what I want y'all to do when you do look, you'll see that that's where the label of Democrat or Republican is neither here nor there. That's a total plan that has nothing to do with a Republican or a Democrat.
No. When you start talking about Bill Gates, Bill Gates is a liberal dude. Like Bill Gates has done a lot of left leaning stuff. A lot of these ultra wealthy people don't want any competition, so they want to. America has to go. That's why I said a minute ago, I think it's just rough. It's got to go, and a lot of these people that are ultra wealthy don't want other people coming in becoming wealthy. Larry Ellison, my brother worked at Oracle. They had a homosexual day. I mean, they really are. Too. When you start talking about these people, especially people in the tech field, like I Google people like that, Microsoft,
let me
these people up in Seattle, Seattle's one of the most liberal cities in the country, and that's where Microsoft is based.
Now, y'all been talking for 2 or 3 hours in this.
That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but you made a charge.
Wait a minute.
You
but you
got to
let me finish. No. You got to let me finish my point. That was
hurry
point.
Up.
In
we're
other words,
on radio, dog.
I only got 3 hours. Go ahead.
Now, y'all, okay, I tell you what. Listen, the other one with the Wall Street and things of that nature and the banks and stuff like that. When you're talking about economics, man, white folk are not Democrat or Republicans. Y'all don't get it.
Who don't get it?
When you're talking about issues when it has to do with race relations and where the races are going to go, who's going to dominate in the future, y'all don't get it. That's what Democrat and Republican, they don't have those blinders. Y'all do. They don't care nothing about y'all need the party.
What are you talking about?
Can I say something?
Have you just started listening to us?
Hey, you know what? When you all it takes is a few sentences out of each one of y'all mouths, and that kind of gives me y'all worldview. It don't take long.
Did you? Hang
you
on.
Know, you know what your worldview is? I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm gonna disagree with these guys, even though I agree with them. Just like you did with Tracy Anderson. Just like you did with the Anderson, Claude Anderson. You trying to say Claude Anderson is quoting the guy book, then the guy saying the same thing about holding out business. Just, I'm like, why is he calling another argument? That's what I said yesterday. Why are you couldn't? Now you trying to say that we're not saying? Hold on, you trying to say we're not saying that there's not a group of wealthy individuals that don't care about the poor. I agree with you. I said today, I talked about the banks, Federal Reserve, we in agreement. The Illuminati, she just quoted that today. Just if you'd have listened today, she just said it a few minutes ago about the Illuminati and how you see the black people being the chess group. We both agree with that. But when you start talking about history, what happened, there is a list, there is a certain, you can look this stuff up. The Democrats was known as the white man's party until the 30s. They literally called themselves the white man. I mean, this is just basic history. We're not trying to say that Republicans are right all the time. And I wouldn't want us to vote 98% Republican. I think that would be stupid.
Hey, it took a circuit court, U.S. circuit court, ruling to stop or to actually allow black people to vote in the primary in the state of South Carolina. That occurred in 1948. Do you know why? Because the Democrats said that their primaries were social clubs, and they could admit whomever they wanted to. So black people were not admitted, and they were left out. So, I mean, it's really crazy. Listen to the show. Listen to the show, man. I've said that I believe that black people are the control group for the socialist experiment in America. Tracy said it. Yes, we all agree. You just happen to be coming in here on days when we're talking about something else.
I listen to y'all without calling in.
What's the solution, man? What you saying? What are you saying? The solution? Because it's almost like you're saying you just don't like the fact we're conservatives. Okay, fine. We don't like certain things.
Listen.
That's cool.
I don't have a problem that y'all conservative. You know what I do? What I do is egg y'all on. I told you once before, the problems of black folk, and this is a historical fact, what we need to do has very little to do with European politics. What we need to do to change our position has very little to do with electoral politics. And what I laugh at about you guys, I mean, and it's, you know, it's that you push that and you think that is
That's not what we're saying. We're saying the end game is
90% of your commentary is about electoral politics.
Because it's talk radio and people talk about today's issues. Today's the media reports about the guy lying about it. I mean, it's a lot of stuff this guy's president is doing. So we just can't talk about the president, don't vote, don't participate. Come on, man. It's like you want to burn the candle on both ends. We know we're supposed to not talk about politics. You can't just tell us to not talk about president.
I didn't say don't talk.
Don't be concerned. What we're saying is, in application, there are certain principles that will help this situation. Namely, Whoopi Goldberg defending Gardner, trying to bite Ann Coulter's head off by having a different side of point of view and cursing and acting a fool, wasn't really good for black people. Not because she's a representative of us, but because we need to stop just thinking one way is the only way. I think we need to find some new. Call Warren Valentine if he lets you stay on, which he probably won't. But call him and get him. They need to attack him, gang up on him, because it's like with us, we're saying some of the same. Is he trying to push black ownership? He probably is, so that's what's sad about it. If you really sit down with Warren Valentine, because I have listened to him, he's probably saying the same thing.
530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. I hope you guys got that straight during the break. Listen, I'm going to take a couple new calls. Hold on just a second. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Ms. Tracy, what I had to call about is that obviously the Republican Party, the guy that Mitt Romney picked, he said that called him stink or something like that.
Call what?
He called him, he said that, he said that, I think it was in the news that he was saying that he called him that, I can't remember, but I know that he said something in a negative term about Mitt Romney. I think it's Paul Ryan. In other words, I guess he acknowledged that the way the election is going and the way the polls are, that they're not going to go anywhere. So they're actually getting ready for the next election, which is 2016, mostly a Republican Party.
Well, in other words, the news is going to I've come to the resolve. The left-leaning news media is going to report anything that they possibly can to make sure that the messaging is not equal. And so I would advise everyone, no matter where you are, if you're concerned about the future of our country, to go out and do your own research. Because what's coming out right now? You got more stuff coming out. They almost making you think that the sky is pink and the grass is blue. And so you have to do your own research. And we do talk radio, and we are nothing but a bunch of talking heads kicking it for a couple hours in the afternoon, taking the world apart and putting the world back together again. And hopefully we will make you think and make you go look up some stuff. But don't listen to the NBC, CBS, NBC, CBS, ABC, FOX, CNN, MSNBC. Go do your own research.
Do your own research.
Because right now, what's coming out right now, they will make you think that your mama is your grandma.
But, Ms. Tracy, it does seem like this guy is stabbing his own partner in the back.
You missed my point, Steve.
In other words,
I can talk about my mama, but best you don't do it. I can get in an argument of how things are going. It's a campaign. In campaign, you have different people. When you get married to people, you have things that you don't agree with and decisions that are made. People fight about how they're going to raise the kids that they love.
But Ms. Tracy,
it's the same way.
Maybe I should say this, and I truly believe that most people in the Republican Party obviously really did not really want it, Mitt Romney.
Doesn't
to be
matter.
The first and when we, and
I tell you
so
this, I might not have wanted Mitt Romney, but I sure don't want Barack Obama. How's that?
That's the gist
of it. So when it's all said and done, we have a family fight, but when it comes time for the family to come together and unite, it's like, you know what, gloves are off, and I'm going to stand behind my brother.
I remember this one.
But don't you think that...
That the Democrats in our area never did vote for Barack Obama. They voted for Hillary Clinton, and they were Clinton Democrats, all in the state of Ohio, from the governor on down. So what happened?
You never did see Tim Ryan with Barack Obama, did you?
Right.
No, no.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so and you didn't see the governor with him at first either, because he was Hillary Clinton.
You still ain't seen a picture with him.
Still ain't seen it.
Still ain't seen it. 626, Covina, man, I know that's you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I listen to you guys. It's more have an interesting conversation. I think that typical conversation is leading to nowhere. And, I got a challenge to that one brother who was making, some accusations about blacks and Democrats or whatever. And I'd like to know how the Uncle Tom stuff is working out for you guys.
Oh, we'd have to find Uncle Tom to find out, because we don't know. Because we're not Uncle Toms, because we don't miss
Hold
the
on.
Words,
That's
my friend.
That's not true. I am an Uncle Tom. I am.
Because
if you really know who Uncle Tom, if you really want to know who
Uncle
Tom
the real
was,
Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom made sure everybody that was outside didn't get killed and got fed.
How was that working out for you?
This black conservative movement.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
I wouldn't call you an Uncle Tom. I'd call you Harry.
I'm going to tell you, just like I explained to you the other day.
You're saying that I'm the Uncle Tom, but I'm not the Uncle Tom. Technically, it's you're the Uncle Tom, because you're the one carrying the water. You can't talk about us. You're the one that's carrying the water for the white liberal. Wake up, my brother. You are carrying the water. You are advancing the cause of the white liberal in black society. And you call me an Uncle Tom? Come on, man. You're the one that's brainwashed. You're the one that's...
Covina, man, I'm asking you a question
to prove your own point. Yes, sir.
What black Democrat do you know has any power in the House that's in there?
In the House? Well, I can ask you this. I can ask the question right off. I don't think a black person has power in the whole damn country.
Something did.
They took care of that.
Yeah. But you wanted to vote them out and call them Uncle Toms and what one of my friends called store bots and this, that, and other, because that's the stupidity of the black community.
They don't let y'all have no power.
The Democrat masses don't never let you off off that plantation.
Nancy don't let y'all have that kind of power.
Master Debbie don't let y'all.
That's right.
Don't let y'all Master Obama, just because he got a black face does not mean that he understands you nor cares. Because guess what? He didn't even meet with the black caucus for a year, number one. Number two, not one bit of legislation is aimed at helping black people. Not one bit. And if you say the health care reform, then you tell me how that's going to help you afford health care. When you can't pay for what you get now.
No, you can't pay to get to the polls to vote for President Obama.
Thank you. You can't buy yourself a doggone ID.
Y'all want a functional definition of what an Uncle Tom is?
We know what the derogatory version is, but the real version in the real story, Uncle Tom helped everybody.
Somebody in the House that was taking care of somebody in the field. The question is, and they always hated him because he was in the House.
I just want to know how it's working out for you guys. It worked out fine for me.
You guys are out here.
Hey. In about 40 days, y'all going to have, I'm going to be serving crow, and I just want to know, you want an a la carte or you want some cornbread?
Look, we didn't know serving crow because we haven't called in the election.
Why do you have to go there every time you call in? Every time you call in, you got to go there. Last time I know, Mamiya did say I was going to give him a break. But Mamiya did say about the birth certificate, which plays right into all the other white supremacists you guys out here support.
Go ahead, South
Carolina. Yeah. Listen, Covina, I'm serious, man. Did you not hear anything that I said? Man, you are serving the same master that you're saying you hate. Do you not realize that you are supporting the cause?
Slavery.
Yeah, well, both of y'all is, so I tell you.
No, both of y'all ain't doing nothing.
He is, and y'all is too.
So what are you doing?
Well, actually, Uncle Tom was actually a very smart individual.
Yes, he was.
According to Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel. Uncle Tom was a character that came from Harriet Beecher Stowe. But one thing that I heard recently was Dr. Charles Stanley said that the liberal agenda, the way it's structured now, cannot be allowed to function inside the Christian church. If it does, it's going to destroy the Christian church. So if
Absolutely.
You are a black person who is a Christian, you cannot follow the Democratic platform.
Can I add something real quick?
The person
that's saying they're going to stay in the Democrat Party because of resources, and then y'all were talking about an Uncle Tom a minute ago or a slave on a plantation. Usually the house Negro was the one that didn't want to leave because he liked the resources that the master fed him. This one that
Absolutely.
Wanted to be free. The one that wanted to be free was the one that didn't like it, wasn't satisfied, and went with Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman said she would have freed 1,000 more had they known. So a lot of people want to stay because of the resources, and a lot of people stayed on the plantation because they felt like, well, if I had to go out there, I got to fend for myself. Which is what freedom is, fending for yourself, paying for your own, making your own way, creating your own businesses. Many people who say they're Democrat are saying, but they don't understand the full meaning of it.
They don't want to be free.
Get off of the when you by definition call somebody a Uncle Tom or whatever, then you got to look at the whole situation and say, well, shoot, I'm the one up here talking about I can't go nowhere and I can't do it unless the master gives it to me. That's the Uncle Tom, period.
Yeah, but Uncle Tom, what his purpose was try to negotiate with the person who was in charge so that he could get resources back to his people. He wasn't trying to sell out. He wasn't trying to sell out his race or sell himself out. He was trying to be a negotiator. The same way that Booker T. Washington was trying to negotiate with the white community by saying, we will accommodate Jim Crow if you will allow us to establish our own institutions so we can train our own people, because we know that you don't want to integrate with black people.
But you have to understand, this is the issue in a nutshell. We can sit here and have this conversation until the cows come home. But we have a generation of people who are lost, and they are walking in lockstep with this party. And if we continue on the road that they're on, because remember, they have you controlled. I mean, and when I say this, I'm not telling anyone to go out next week and pick up your Republican card. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if we keep on going in the direction that we're going, you won't have to worry about what card you hold, because the card you'll be holding is the Joker.
That's going to happen whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
That's not what I said.
On the plantation, the resources that the slaves got weren't good. They were hand-me-downs. That's just like telling somebody you can't survive off of more than $2,000 a month. I'm going to ensure you'll never step up and do something with your life, because I'm going to make sure that you're going to get cut off. You're going to be afraid, because if you leave, you're going to make less than $2,000. I'm going to take this $2,000 check away from you every month. So I'm going to make sure you're a permanent underclass. I'm going to give you free housing as long as you don't try to go out here and start a business. As long as you don't go out here and get a job making $70,000 a year, you can get your check.
Preach.
Now we're going to see who's really trying to hold
Preach.
You back. Because when you get a job, why won't they say, hey, I'm gonna still give you the check? They mad now. They upset because you're going trying to make something out yourself.
I'm not telling you to go out here and get something for yourself.
I'm not telling you to make something out yourself. You can do more. We've been bragging about what we did in the past. We ran Europe for 700 years, but we can't go and create our own business, wholly owned, like 269 is saying. That's the problem when people start. You black and somebody, man, what am I saying is wrong?
I don't think nobody's saying anything that's wrong. I think what's happening is people are giving the analysis of what we see as the social dysfunctions with a different worldview. And if you're stuck on your worldview, it's harder to see somebody else's worldview. That's why
I don't have to see your worldview 269. We just need to work together.
Look, well, I'm a Christian, you pan-African. As long as we get out here and start business and make money, what difference does it make? You go do your pan-African, I do my Jesus, and we good.
Hey, guys, but guys, hold up. Hey, Michigan, hold up. Because I got five people on the phone, and I know it sounds like a train wreck out there.
Michigan,
go ahead.
Finish his point.
I need to have Michigan and Alabama go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, I think, and so what you're hearing over the phone, bruh, is not that, I'm not trying to get you all to see my worldview. I'm just adding my view to the mix. And so I think that's where the creativity comes from when everybody sees everybody's world. But if you're stuck on your own, then it does appear like we're marking time.
But you know what?
But I
today,
think.
Go ahead, man. I was just saying today, download the podcast today and go back and look at when I first called and look at what I was talking about with Sundown Towns. I was trying to say understand why Pan-Africans think like they do, because I understand and I agree with certain things that the government has been used to do to oppress certain individuals, namely blacks. And that's what I say, and I was like, that's all of it. But the solution I have is just the same as yours. Even though I disagree with the reaction, our solution is the same. As long as the solution matches up,
result.
I'm good. Now, if you're out here saying...
One at a time, guys. Listen here.
Okay.
I cannot have a train wreck. It really sounds bad.
Terrible.
Okay.
And so I got to do this one at a time, and then I got to bring up another call. I think that's Alex out there.
I was just saying that if you're out here saying, one guy's out here saying we need more government checks, and one guy's out here saying, no, we don't need more government checks. We just start our own business and become self-sufficient.
Right.
That's a contradiction. The guy that's saying the government checks got to go. That's why black people, black conservatives are out here emphatically saying what they're saying, because government checks hinders that. Let me tell you what's going to light a fire under you. It'll light a fire under you when they tell you you got power. They're going to cut your power off in the morning. And you ain't got no check coming. You're going to get out there, you're going to go hustle, you're going to go work at a temp agency, you're going to call who you can, you're going to borrow, you're going to do whatever you got to do to make sure you don't get. That's what I'm saying. You don't have that fire lit under you if the check is coming and it's paid. Why would you go? You sit at the house and chill and talk on the phone, and you do all types of stuff.
But see, here's the thing, though, Doc. You agree with that. But we never break out of the cycle or get our people broken out of the cycle. That's the problem. And when you have a gamut of society, black, white, and Hispanic, that depends on the checks, you have a huge problem with us getting ourselves, our butts off the couch somewhere and going and doing something. Because if we don't start, if I start a business, I'm going to need you to come work for that business. But if you say, well, man, you know, I ain't going to work for that $8 an hour from you because
unemployment.
Right, the unemployment is more than that. Or my welfare, you know, they'll take away my welfare and I won't have no health care if I don't do this, that, and the other. Now you got a man promising you a health care. When the government gets in it, you cannot win it. That should be a slogan. I'm going to put a T-shirt out this year. When the government gets in it, you cannot win it. You need to get free of the government. You got to get free of the party that you keep voting for. Their main aim and goal from the very beginning of time was to kill you off. And they're doing it.
And they understand that government, when you know that you've got a check coming, it limits your ability for growth. Hold on. Go ahead, Alex.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me? All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I think what everybody's saying is important, you know, but, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this if we just, you know, had sound economics, if we was doing our thing, and, you know, we wouldn't be talking about most of this stuff. But what I really called in for was, you know, even Neil Bortz, other radio hosts, he admits that the polls are accurate. And so people are trying to explain away the polls. What Republicans are trying to explain away the polls. I mean, the fact of the matter, Obama, Romney, he's going to lose, and he's going to lose bad. You just have to accept that fact. I mean, he's just going to lose.
Okay, that's fine.
But what I want to know is that you know, why don't we talk about, I mean, if we really want, you know, because honestly, Romney and Obama, I just call them Obamney because they're the same guy. If you look at everything that's important, if you look at everything that's important, they're the same guy. So why don't we push for that that third candidate to be in these debates, like Gary Johnson, a libertarian? Because if you look at what his views are, he would. I mean, if we really want a solution. You know, a lot of Democrats and Republicans and most independents would vote for Gary Johnson if they thought he was viable. And I think the only way is if we have to push for him to be in these presidential debates. You know, but otherwise, I think we are surrendering to the beast if we don't do something along those lines, so that the majority of America can hear his ideas about fiscal conservatism, constitutionality, bring the troops home, you know, eliminating the IRS, reining in on the Federal Reserve, you know, eliminating the federal income tax, and you know, all these things that he has real solutions for that you know, we're just not going to get. We're just going to get more of the same. We're going to get more assassination of American citizens, no matter who if Obama or Romney is in there. You know, so we're going to get more of the same, regardless if either one of those two characters are in there. So, I mean, to me, it seems like we're surrendering if we don't do something, work towards, work in a direction that we know would, you know, be effective. And I think that's, you know, our best bet right now is to get Gary Johnson in those presidential debates.
I don't think it's going to happen, Alice. And for reasons that are probably very, very selfish and very, very disingenuous on both sides, because they don't want to shave those points. Remember, no matter what the polls say and no matter what you think, this election may be won popularity wise, but the Electoral College is another animal.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people to really be able to understand that the Electoral College and getting those points. The Electoral College is going to be won and lost by points, even though the numbers may be large. Are you following me?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he's not going to come in Ohio, and nobody's going to come in Ohio and blow this state out. Neither one. It's going to be by points, and those points are important. And bringing another candidate in there is either going to hurt one or help the other. And I don't think either side wants to see that happen, and so I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to allow it to happen because, remember, even though we think that we're a part of the process, we are not organized enough to change anything.
Well, you know, the fact that Gary Johnson is on the ballot in almost all 50 states, I think it's like 49 states he's in right now, and he's currently in court for that last one or two. I mean,
for what? Libertarian? Which party? Libertarian?
He's libertarian. He's libertarian.
Why is he wasting his money going to court?
To get on the ballot.
For what?
So he can be
so
on.
So he can siphon off from the
Republican.
Oh yeah, Republican candidate. That's all it's going to be.
I mean, that's what people say, but I think.
Well, what chance does he have of winning, Doc? Come on.
I think that if people were actually allowed to hear his ideas.
But
I mean,
it's too late to hear his ideas.
He doesn't have the money.
Just 30 days.
No.
He don't have no money. Ain't nobody backing him. And so, you know, why are you backing him?
What would you suggest then? You're
suggesting
to bend over then for Obama?
No,
is
I'm
that
suggesting,
what you're suggesting
that people quit being stupid, believing that either party has an agenda for them, and get together and get their own agenda together, and then tell the parties, this is our agenda, we want this. Just like the Jews do, just like
okay.
the Hispanics do,
right.
just like, wait a minute, just like the homosexuals do, and they got, they must have a heck of a lobby, I was going to say the other, okay, a heck of a lobby, because they're getting everything just about that they want.
And you have to understand, and what's going to happen, and I'm telling you why this is not going to happen. The reason is because it's going to shave. They don't want anyone out there shaving any more points off the numbers than they possibly can. They want a head to head race because two fat men in a race won't bring a skinny man out.
Yeah, I mean, I understand their motivations behind it, but what I'm saying is that it makes no sense for us to then play along with the same game and not at least we shouldn't be standing for this. I mean, we should want to hear from other than Obama, because it's just a charade. Then it's not even
I want to hear from him early. I don't want to hear from him now. He should be out here now.
Well, he was out early. He was he started out in the Republican primaries. I don't know if you remember, but
right.
He started out in the Republican primaries, but he wasn't picking up traction, so he switched over to Libertarian and got that nomination.
So if you follow what I'm saying, I mean, come on now, you can't switch from Republican to Libertarian and think that you want to get your voice out. That's like we had a guy here from Youngstown who ran for president.
Well, there's just too many.
And he was only on one. He was only on one state ballot.
You know, I hear what y'all are saying, but you know, just like what happened in the Republican National Convention, how the big money interests, you know, with what they pushed through with the platform changes to ensure that, you know, grassroots efforts are not heard. So it's like I hear what y'all are saying, but it's like. I think what you're talking about doing is an exercise in futility, because.
But what I'm saying is, if you want to get involved in this process, you got to know how the process works. And hijacking the process in the third and the ninth inning is not going to change baseball.
2 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Not going to happen.
Not only that, you're just going to kick everybody off.
That's what they did at the Republican convention.
No, they didn't.
You know, change it.
He walked in the door knowing what was getting ready to happen. They walked in the door knowing what was going to happen.
They changed the rules in the end because
the only rules that changed in the end was that they were going to not announce his numbers.
No,
but he did not.
I mean,
he clearly did not have the numbers to win
then,
the nomination.
And then they completely unseated, you know, swabs and delegates. I mean, come on.
It's politics, dog.
That's what I'm saying. Our problem is we want to sit in the cheap seats. I'm sitting up in the nosebleed section, Alex, this process. I'm just telling you from where I was sitting. I'm sitting in the nosebleed seats when they do this process, and you can't change it. When you get on the floor, it has to be done in uniformity somewhere else. And our problem is people are not organized enough to change it.
No,
they knew what they were going to try to do, and so did Ron Paul. He knew what was going on.
Yeah, he did. But my point is that these were people who were in the system. These were delegates at the state conventions, and they just removed them. And what I'm saying is that this is what happens. They'll just change the rules of the game when they want to.
Alex, they removed them because they did not have the votes to get them because they were not sitting in the right, proper place.
No.
Can I throw something in?
No.
Go ahead.
Can I throw something in, Tracy? This is 269. To the brother who talked about when I was saying about the different worldviews, I'm going to just want to use this conversation right here as an example. Now, when the brother called in, I mean, he laid out, hey, look, y'all, we're going to go economics and then come to the table, or if you insist on staying at the table, sit in a different chair, right? Okay, but now here's Tracy saying, well, that ain't going to work. I'm not saying Tracy don't have a reason for saying that it don't work, but you see how now with the position she's taken and then the position that the other bird is saying, then you had an impact.
But what I'm trying to say is I love his enthusiasm of wanting to change it. And what I'm saying is from the seat from where I get to sit, you got to change it from the inside out. And our problem is we want to change it from the outside in, and it can't work that way.
But there are people on the inside that just get removed. If they're not thinking how the people with the big money are thinking.
Alex,
that's what happened.
Alex, victimology is not going to work for a man that got two votes in the primary. It just is not going to work. Ron Paul got more votes than him and did not get recognized a certain way either. And although Ron Paul has some nice ideas on some things, most of the people...
This isn't about Ron Paul.
I didn't say that. I'm making the point.
Hold about Ron Paul, because when you're talking about what happened on the floor of the RNC, it's
right.
about Ron Paul.
It sure is. And you have to understand that there's a protocol and everything that's followed, and your guy just does not meet the standards to be there. So that's not the way to attack this, is what I'm saying. What you're doing is whistling up a gump stuff, and it's not going to get us anywhere, and you're really wasting our time.
Look, Ron Paul is just a symbol of the liberty movement. Most of these delegates and a lot of these state conventions, these were people who were part of the liberty movement. And so they knew that if these delegates were actually there, they would not allow them to push through the changes that they did with the Republican Party platform. And like, you want to – I understand y'all know that – I am a Ron Paul supporter. That's fine, but this is big. This is bigger than Ron Paul.
But what I'm saying,
what
Alex,
my point is that
it is the most with a shoulder.
No, Alex. Let me say this. You're right, but there was a process, and that's what I keep on telling everyone.
And they played
not,
by the rules.
No,
of
they
the
didn't.
Process.
No, they didn't.
Oh my God! Come on.
No, they didn't. Because if they had played by the rules of the process,
it would not win.
They would have been able to remember. And let me say this again. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm going to take my break. It's a game. And you have to have a strategic move, because you have to know where your opponent is going. So you need to know that your opponent is coming straight at you, and you need to know how to move to get around him so that you don't get taken down or get checkmated. That's the game. And let me say this, because I'm serious. I sat there, looked at it through the whole process and watched them do this and was tripping. And what I'm saying is the liberty movement, the symbol of Ron Paul, the libertarians, the people that wanted to get their things across, those moves were done back in the individual states. Are you following me?
Yes.
They were
That's
done,
how you get to the national convention,
hold on,
though. That's
right.
The process.
And they were done in the states, and those people were not sitting at the tables where they were being duped. So when they came in to change the rules had already been changed individually at the RNC back at the meeting when they put the platform together. The same thing happened to the DNC when it came to taking God and Jerusalem out of the platform.
And who are the only people making those rules? It's the big money people.
No, hold on, Alex. Listen, this is how it goes. See, it's the big money people, but the big money people are pushing it through little people. Because, see, it's little people that are being manipulated by the big money people who go into the room and make the changes. Because those big money people, hold on, those big money people are the people that are behind the curtain watching on TV. They're not sitting there making those changes.
Tracy,
so
the process you have to use Robert's rules when you change these
Alex,
when
Alex,
you change
Alex,
them.
And Alex, so, Alex, you if you watch the DNC, you had
excuses.
To said you had to have two thirds vote. Cannot tell me that they had two thirds vote to put God back in their platform. All that Robert's rules, all you can throw him up against the wall and put him on bubble gum, because none of that works, because the plan is already in motion when you step into the room.
And I was raised in a Robert's rules house.
So what I'm saying,
I'm sure.
I love Robert and I love his rules, but the rules only apply if you're playing by them, and they ain't playing by the rules. They're playing by their own set. And until you're sitting at the table where they're making the rules, you can't change them. And that's what I'm saying. And what's happening now is we're trying to play by the rules after the game, and the game is over. And what I'm trying to tell people is they need to engage. They need to engage in the system before the rules take shape. Right now, trying to get somebody to sit at the table is just doesn't make sense. You got 30 days out. You can't do anything right now. You should have did this at the beginning of the year or last year, because they're planning on 2016 right now, and we sitting here talking about 2012.
And so he better be out there getting ready to beat the bushes for 2016 if he wants to be doing anything. Otherwise, this is a crazy conversation to be happening 30 days before the election or whatever it is. And
we're
sitting up there thinking that a guy has a real chance to get through and win.
He doesn't have a chance. No, he has a chance.
He has a chance
to change votes to get Obama in. That's what he has a chance to do.
What do you suggest?
I'm suggesting that people understand the process and the plan and get engaged.
But
starting, hold
so,
on.
So should
starting,
they? So should they not vote?
No, I'm saying people should vote, but they need to pay attention to who they're voting for and engage in the process. But engaging in the presidential process of 2012 with a Libertarian candidate is not going to help you out today.
Well, vote for who?
Give me a candidate. Give me your candidate who's going to win one state. One state.
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me.
I am hearing you.
No, you're
what
not.
What I'm saying is
no,
you want
not.
Him to come to the debate table so that he can bring up the issues and make these people already make them answer to them.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that's not going to happen.
But also, at this point,
it's
to inform
the American people.
They're not going to be informed.
But
hold on. Go ahead.
Yeah, also at this point, I think the election is much closer than you think. I think the polls are not accurate. I think a lot of people are independents now, and I think they're going to vote at the last minute for whoever they think is the best candidate. I think what's going to decide it are these upcoming debates. People are going to examine these debates very closely, and then they're going to make their decision at the last moment. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised as to who the winner is actually going to be. And I think the election is going to be very, very close.
And I do, too. I do, too. But, see, Alex, I understand you having a third person in the debate. See, that's not the issue. We need to change the platform of the debate. But giving a Libertarian some knowledge and some votes so he can shave some points so Barack Obama can win is only going to be left-leaning, and that's not where I'm trying to go.
I think that's a false assumption because a Libertarian it would take just as many votes from a Democrat. So
have you met Ross Perot?
Ross Perot was not a Libertarian.
Doesn't make a difference. What did he do?
Yes, it does make a difference.
What did he do? What did Ross Perot do?
We both know what Ross Perot and Nader. We know about that, but that has nothing to do.
Yeah, it does.
What people identify with.
Yes, it does.
Libertarians
because you can't
identify
win.
With both Democrats and Republicans.
Your Libertarian candidate cannot win a state. That's the issue. Hold
yeah.
on, I got to take some calls. No, he can't. I love him. I love you. He can't. He can't win. I hate to say that. Not 40 days out, he cannot win a state because he goes in debate because he doesn't have the money, he doesn't have the resources, and he doesn't have the will to make it. That's just truth. He can't win. That's like me going out saying, I'm going to win. I can't win.
No, you're not Gary Johnson.
I can't.
Oh, God.
Okay, Tracy Johnson can't win either.
Thank God.
409, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Homeschool Dad.
Hey, Homeschool.
Yeah, I know that we get inundated with, 1,000 polls every single day, I think, and they all show Obama up. But I've been kind of learning about how polls work, basically the numbers that they use, number of people they call and why. I know it's all based off of turnout from previous elections. Now, we know that in 2008 that, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but more Democrats came out during that election than pretty much any time in the previous 20 years to vote for Obama. If you look at the turnouts prior to that, 2001, 2004, they were pretty similar as far as the breakdown of Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Well, most of these polls nowadays are using the 2008 model, which, like I said, there was a lot more Democrats than pretty much ever before. A lot of Republicans stayed home that year because we weren't very excited about McCain. And most polling places are using the 2008 model. But not only that, some of them, for whatever reason, are going above and beyond. Like the New York Times CBS poll that came out for Ohio and showed Obama up by 10. Not only did they use the 2008 model, which was heavily Democrat, but they actually polled 9% more Democrats on top of that model and 5% less Republicans. So it was incredibly heavy Democrat leading. Same way with the one that just came out in Pennsylvania. They actually sampled or polled 11% more Democrats than even the 2008 model and 9% less Republicans. Now, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know why they're doing this, but all of these polls that have come out have been way, way heavy on the number of Democrats that they've polled compared to Republicans. So much so that there's actually a website called unskewedpolls.com that basically, if they would use the 2004 model of the turnout, pretty much Mitt Romney is up in every single poll across the country if they don't use that 2008 model, which was so heavily Democrat. And I just heard today that registrations in Ohio are down over 400,000 of people registering, and almost half of that are in Cleveland alone. So the Democrat enthusiasm, the Democrats that have registered to vote, is way, way down from 2008, but yet all the polling are oversampling Democrats. So
well,
I
that's
just
why they're doing it, homeschool. I mean, we're going through a whole lot of stuff here. That's why they're doing it, because they always do this. They try to discourage the people that are going to vote against what they believe in. And so that is the bottom line. That's what they want to do. What they believe in, they want to make sure. Oh man, we can't win this. He's 10 points behind. Oh my God. You ain't seen him say, oh God, oh my God. So if you're gonna support him, get your people say, let's get out here and vote, because you can't stand 4 more years of this craziness.
519, I've got a private caller. Hold on. 518, your mic is on.
And listen, Trace, Jeff, and everybody else that's out there. Now, this is just my opinion. You guys can go ahead and do what you do with it. I don't know if you guys watch boxing faithfully and get involved with it, but I'm going to say this because I'm always repeating myself. Once again, what we find ourselves doing is disagreeing about a boxing match, and you've got the promoters of the match that are going out and saying, oh man, look at him, he's built, he's got this jazz speed, he's got this punch and power, he's this, he's that, and then you got the promoters that are saying, well, if you were a betting man, I would bet on him. So now you're the fan, you're the spectator, you're watching all this go down, and you finally come to the conclusion that, well, maybe I do like a certain candidate, but at the same time, this guy, he's got, on paper, he looks like he's got all the right equipment. On paper, he's the champion. On paper, he can win. On paper, he's that guy. But what we find ourselves doing is buying into a market, buying into a system where they already have a winner chosen. What they do as the marketing, what they do as the marketing team, their strategy is simple. They have to get you to accept the choice that was already made for you, as opposed to you making the choice yourself. And that's what happens with these politics games that we play. We have to accept the choice that's already been made for us and learn how to take
it. Rick.
I'm about to agree with you. Get to the table and figure out how these choices get made so that we can participate in some things that we don't have a clue about.
Rick, the choices have not been made; they've been engineered. They've not been made; they've been engineered. And the issue is, we have to think before we walk into the moment, because we can't be zombies, as I said at the beginning of the show. And I think Prophetess Pam is on with us, but you can't be zombies. And what's happening is, you have been the American electorate, the majority of them, a lot of them, have been hoodwinked, have been hypnotized, have been brainwashed into thinking that they're making choices, but when they're going in lockstep with someone else's plan. But it's not that the choice has already been made. The issue is, when will you wake up and make your own choice?
That sounds good, Trace.
It's not empty. Remember, if you wake up and begin to think on your own and become free, then you quit making choices based upon what people tell you. You make choices based upon what you learn. And for the lack of knowledge, people perish. And the people are perishing is because they are not waking up, they're not learning on their own, and they're not thinking on their own, so they're not making their own choices. So you have to choose where you're going. And as long as I'm letting you choose for me, then I'm actually your slave. Let me bring on Prophetess Pam. Guys, I know that you guys want to – we'll be back on Monday. We'll do this again. Prophetess Pam, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you? Can you hear me?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. Been listening to the whole exchange. It's been, you know, really interesting to me. I love to hear people in open debate. And it's very, very interesting. But, Jeff, you need to know that I did laugh at the Roberts deliberation, Roberts rules of order whole thing. I think that the problem maybe out there is that nobody bothered to put the rule book out. So if you don't have a copy of the rule book, you're not going to be at the table in deliberation. But I appreciate every one of the voices. You are intelligent. Very strong people and seem to be very committed to your views, so I applaud all of you for it. Not very much in the political arena, don't like it at all, even though I've fallen into it because I'm because of the kind of ministry that I have many, many times, because God does show me trends and things that will happen. So having said that, I am going to be in ministry in the area tomorrow night for a quick meeting that was just kind of called by the Spirit of God. And I know that it's impromptu. I hope that it wouldn't be so impromptu that you can't make it. But I'll be with my good friend, Frank Amedia, who is a very strong minister of God. His church is in the Canfield, Ohio area. His address is 10 Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio, 44406, in case you're going to put it in your navigator. It's Touch Heaven Canfield Church, 10 Skyline Drive, one word, Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio, 44406. We'd be thrilled to see you there. The service is going to start at 7 o'clock in the evening. I'm actually going to open the floor for Q&A. I'll minister to as many people as I possibly can. We've done kind of a blitz as quickly as we could because, like I said, this is a last-minute called meeting. But I'd love to see as many people as possible in the Youngstown area, my friends, partners, people that I haven't seen in years, people who have never heard me minister, who would like to have a nice touch from God for a prophetic ministry, actually. Minister to people what God is saying to them and minister to our nation, our city, our state, churches, and everything else. So if you really need a touch and a word from God, come out and join me. Once again, I'll be at
what time?
Ministries tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 10 Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio.
And you said 10 Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio, tomorrow at 7 o'clock?
Yes, that'll be it.
What time will the doors open? Will you start at 7 or how's that going to go?
Generally, by what I've seen with this church, they probably will open the doors at around about 6 o'clock. People are welcome to come in and pray. They always have worship music playing and create a really excellent atmosphere for what will come next. But we're going to have a great time. I mean, this would be a lot of fun. We'll deal with a lot of what's going on in the world today. Some of the views that you're sharing on the radio today and all of that will be open for discussion of them. So I really would love for you to come out. Come on out, Youngstown. I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a while since I've ministered here. So I'd love to see you on 10 Skyline Drive tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Well, listen, we appreciate you, and I'm going to do my best to be there.
Good, because I'm going to be looking for you.
I'm going to do my best to be there. But it's important that during this time we begin to hear from men and women of God about the things that are going on, because we're dealing in a spiritual realm in the natural. If you don't understand that, come out and she'll explain it.
Yeah.
And it's important because we need to pray, and we need to be able to see the signs of the times, because we are walking in times that are untraveled right now. Like no other, and you need to hear from God. So if you can, come out and see Prophetess Pam tomorrow night at, give me the name of the church again, Pam.
Touch Heaven Ministries. It's really pastored by Pastor Frank Amedia. It's on 10 Skyline Drive in Canfield, Ohio. And while you're saying this, you know, many of the things that we're so terribly concerned about, God has already spoken about them in the Word of God. A lot of people might not realize because of maybe the kind of church you go to. You might have a wonderful church, but they might not deal with end time matters. They might not deal with what God has already spoken about, what's going to happen in political arenas and trends and everything else. Actually, I prophesied the coming of Barack Obama into office. I knew it in 2007. and had a name and a face by 2008 and knew exactly who he was, what he was going to do when he got into office. So these things were not just foretold by me, but by many, many other prophets as far as what's going on. I think that this is a missing element in many of the churches because they think that somehow this was done away with, but it actually was not. So you can hear voices that are terribly accurate, not just mine, but voices that are terribly accurate, communicating to you what God says is going to happen and why he says it's going to happen and where it is in the Bible that was foretold thousands of years ago that it would happen. So it's really an exciting time to serve the Lord, but you really need to keep in touch with what he's saying. So come on out. I'll be looking forward to seeing you.
That's tomorrow night.
At Touch Heaven Ministries, church in
Canfield,
Ohio. That's right here locally here.
Is that off 46 or is it off of Main?
Right off of 46.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Just
we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Town Square.
All right, dears.
God bless you.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
A whole lot smarter than me and more savvy than me in political matters, but I sure have a hang in there when it comes to matters of Christ. So come out and hear my perspective tomorrow night.
Amen. Amen.
There you go.
Appreciate you, sister. Appreciate you so very, very much. Come out and see her. She is a woman of God, and she'll bless you. You'll get a word. You'll get a word from that you need to hear. You'll be surprised.
Yeah, you will be.
You'll be surprised.
She ran through the church last night and turned it out. Nobody wanted to go home in about 10
minutes. What church?
Touch Heaven Ministry.
Okay.
We went last night. And just to touch bases about Saturday, and she ended up speaking some words, and ministry broke out in the church, and it was a wonderful time.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't invite me, Jeff. I'd have come out. You're wrong. Just say you're wrong.
Hey, we were too
just
busy.
You were too
busy condemning us for
just say you're wrong.
Acting silly in the store when you called.
Y'all don't know how to act. Hold on, 540, your mic is on.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tracy. I'm back again. I was listening very attentively for the last 45 minutes, but I've been out on the road. I wanted to speak to the issue of the gentleman who's talking about the libertarian point of view. This guy, whoever's running under that libertarian banner, is not going to get elected this year, okay? And that's something that anybody who would vote for anybody but one of the two main candidates, you are wasting your vote. And if you want to see Barack Obama as the next president, as opposed to, let's say, an independent person that you may have in your mind, then you need to vote for Barack Obama. And if you want Romney to be elected as opposed to Barack Obama, you need to vote for him. Get the lesser of two evils into the office of president and then immediately begin a four-year campaign to change the course of this country by getting somebody who is maybe like a Tea Party, middle-of-the-road moderate, or somebody who might be a libertarian, then begin to campaign for them. But in voting for anybody other than one of the two people that are running as key members of the coming election, You're wasting your vote and actually burning the opportunity to get somebody either into or out of office that needs to be there. And you need to take that point of view because otherwise you might as well stay home because your vote is only going to hurt the party who needs it.
Can I respond to that, Tracy?
Sure.
Well,
I don't know if I said that clearly enough. I hope so.
Sure, but make it short because I've got to pick up some more calls. My list is running
long.
I
appreciate your opinion, but you said that somebody needs to be there. Neither one of them need to be there. Neither sides of Obama needs to be there. So I don't really say that's a valid point. And I think that if you choose the lesser of two evils, you're still participating in evil, and so you're part of the problem if you vote for either one of them. And lastly, I would say that we've been doing this far too long, and everybody, they keep saying that every election cycle, that, you know, you have to vote this guy out. Now, forget about this, forget about how bad he is, but if we don't vote for him, this guy's going to stay in there. So we have to vote for this guy, and then this guy gets in, and he's worse than the last guy. You know, that's what George Bush did, you know. And it's just, it's insane. And he goes in and doubled the size of Department of Education, and he campaigned on, you know, humble foreign policy and got us into two wars. And he talked about against all that stuff when he was campaigning.
I have to shut you off right there because this is asinine once again. Okay, it is because first of all, people are acting as if 9/11 never happened. That's number one. Number two, they're acting as if the Clinton administration did not leave a directive to say regime change in Iraq was absolutely necessary for the security of the United States.
So you want to blame the previous administration?
I didn't blame anybody because there's no blame. You did what you had to do. I don't blame Barack Obama for being in Afghanistan. I blame him for doing it stupidly and not having enough people there to protect the people that are there.
I'm going to pick up a call. Colin, is it Callumins? Who is this?
Hello, guys?
Hello.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, we can. Make sure you don't cuss.
I won't curse.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why do niggas love KFC?
Why your mama do what?
No, don't. No, mm-mm. I can't believe they waited online that long.
I heard him say, why his mama do what?
I can't believe he waited online that long. I just want you to know how long he's been on hold. You don't understand, guys, how long this person's been on hold to be stupid. That's dumb.
I just don't know why you want to come on radio and blast his own mama.
I don't understand. And the number is 347-945-5522. I don't believe he waited online that long. I can't understand.
Don't we have another person?
No.
There's a hallelujah there.
Hallelujah ain't on there.
Who are you, hallelujah?
Diva's on here.
Oh, yeah, you can bring Diva up.
I can't bring Diva up. Hi, Diva.
Diva.
Hello.
Close your window.
That's not me.
Oh, because looking around, say, what you driving, a Hummer?
No, not even if I wished, I would never drive one of them gas guzzlers.
I would.
Is the prophet still on?
Sister Pam, are you still there? No, she's gone.
Oh man.
No, yes, actually, I am.
Oh, there she is, Diva.
Oh,
there she is.
Praise God. I just wanted to say that I'm very thankful and grateful to the Lord for your divine inspiration word. You bring a fresh meaning to the show because you really take it out of the context of what man is doing and the things of man and how we're seeing the things of man doing, and you put a fresh revelation of the workings of God. And I didn't get to listen in to you the first time you were on, so I was very upset that no one told me and I had to hear it on podcast. And I just wanted to say hello to you.
Well, hi. I hope I would see you if you possibly can tomorrow night. It would be wonderful. I'd be glad to pray for you. I've listened to you many times on the broadcast, believe it or not. I'm starting to know some of the names of some of the people that call in on a regular basis. I get kind of a kick out of listening. You know, when you're in ministry, and you've been in ministry as long as I have, then you see all kinds of trends. You hear it all. And you see it all. So I just applaud people who call in on a regular basis and who can think. You know, that's the thing that's so incredibly important to me. You guys can think. And that has been something that almost we were educated out of, especially in my community. So I applaud you for being intelligent, enriching, and I would love to see you tomorrow night. Come out if you can, and I'll be quick to lay hands on you, pray for you, and minister to you. God bless you, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it tomorrow because I live in Columbus and I have a meeting set up. So.
You live all the way down in Columbus. Well, one time when I'm down there in the Columbus area, I will surely make sure that you know.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless.
I ain't letting you know nothing, Diva.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
Me.
Yes, I am here. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm getting cursed out by Jeff, you know.
Oh, I feel for you because it's usually me.
Yeah.
It's usually me, so I feel for you. One, I would have to take their side that I understand your point of view, but anybody who's been even involved in high school politics, high school government, knows that when there's a third candidate and the two of them have views that line up similarly, mm-hmm. almost alike, that vote is going to be split. And I think that's where they're really upset about, because they know that by Gary Johnson being on the ballot, it's going to split the Republican vote. Because a lot of Republicans don't like Ron.
Yeah, but see, you know, what I didn't get a chance to talk about was the fact that it's just for one, it's a false notion, because that's been true for other candidates, but libertarians, a lot of Democrats like libertarian views, and so it will take votes from both parties, what I think. But the other thing, though, is that I think we need it. I don't really care, because this two-party monster is so manipulative to the masses that I really don't care if it's supposed to vote. We actually need that to happen so that they don't have much control over the political process. So I just don't care.
I think once if we get an independent candidate who really is truly middle and don't have some far-off ideals, I mean, because Ron Paul, I mean, as great as he is with some of his views, I mean, his views on states' rights, it makes any person, especially a black person, be like, what the heck? And if Gary Johnson, I do not believe he believes what he said. I believe he is going along with saying what he thinks people want to hear. I don't hear any conviction. I don't feel any conviction from him about his ideals and his beliefs.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I kind of feel that too, but I mean, he's been pretty consistent for at least 6 or 7 years that I've known about him. So I don't know. It's hard to say, but for about 6 years or so, he's been pretty consistent with the libertarian leaning message. So, but I don't know about before that though.
Well, I guess that makes him better than Romney, because with Romney, you don't know where he stands. I mean, and I guess that's the most scary thing about him is he's gone like the wind. He really caters to those whom he is speaking to, because one minute he says one thing, the next minute he says another, and it's just...
Yeah, I think those are the biggest jokes, the ones that the people that actually vote for Romney. Because he's just all over the place. He has no integrity, and so if you vote for him, I question your integrity too. That's just the way I see it. You know,
interject something, if I might, you two. You want to make that claim against .com?
That's fitfamily1.com.
Same thing, Democrats. We don't see the same thing going on with Barack Obama.
Barack
Obama has not changed his ideals or his beliefs. He is not saying, well, I believe this one minute, and the next minute I believe this, depending on who he's talking to. Now, because he is president, he has to switch up his strategy while he's in the White House, because you can't just stick to a mantra, especially if it's not working or if it's not good for the country. But he's not saying, well, you know, I'm pro-life one on Sunday and pro-choice on Wednesday. That's not him. That's not saying I'm more for homosexuals than Ted Kennedy is. That's not who he's every. From what I heard as candidate Obama,
Hold on, guys. I'm back. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to say this. You're right, Diva. He didn't change. The problem is you can't get people to understand that who they put in office is who he is. You're right.
Well,
He has not changed.
And that's who I put into office. That's the things that he said as candidate Obama, I believe and I agree with. It wasn't just, oh, he's a black man and he's a Democrat, I won't vote for him. No, I truly
but
believe
see, Diva,
that
but
he
you're one of the first,
in what he is saying.
But you are one of the few. You are one of the few that are that really understand that. Very, very few believe that because I talk to friends all the time and they tell me, well, he has to do this because it's politics, and I'm telling them, no, that's who he is.
That's who he is.
I mean, you if you stand by who he is, then that's who you are. And
well,
you're one
well,
of the few.
The,
but there's
the
a lot
thing,
of people out there voting
about,
for him, and they don't realize that.
The one thing about Romney is I really don't think that Romney is a politician. And so that's why he looks so uncomfortable running as a politician. I really
You're
think
right.
he's just, he's a good, well, according to capitalism, he is the poster boy, and I'm not saying it's bad, but he is the poster boy of what free enterprise and capitalism can get you, you know, if you, you know, go into the system and work it. So that's really what Romney is. Now, if you're talking about the Republican platform and the Democratic platform, here's the thing. All of those parties are run by interest groups. So you don't look at the candidate anyway. It's the interest groups that are behind the candidate. And even with the brother with the third party idea, right? Okay. That party will be ran by interest groups too. And I guess the issue is, what is your interest, and who is your group?
We have to realize that all the parties, and you're right, but all the parties, and you actually, what you have to realize is you're part of some of these interest groups that you're not paying attention to.
They what now?
I mean, you'd be surprised where your dollar goes when you don't think your dollar's going there and you're a part of the interest group that you don't know. Let me pick up 516, your mic is on.
Went into your show.
516, your mic is on.
Yeah, I wanted to find out how I donate money to your show.
You can send donations to 4040 Simon Road.
4040 Simon Road?
Uh-huh, in Youngstown, Ohio.
Youngstown, Ohio. All right, thanks so much. Sorry.
Tracy
Youngstown, Ohio, 44505, and put Tracy and Friends on it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you, really.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Any suspicious package, don't open it. Call the FBI. That's all I'm going to say.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Oh, hello. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. I just have something I wanted to say to Jeff. The other week, you made a comment about you wouldn't vote for the Democrats because the Democrats were slave owners.
No.
So that's why one of the reasons why you're a Republican. I'm talking to Jeff.
I said I would not be a Democrat. Not that I will never vote for a Democrat, because I vote for Democrats. But
okay, well, that's
what
I meant, that you would be a Democrat.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll
I want
never
to tell
be
you
a Democrat.
Something. I checked out some stuff, okay?
Yeah.
The Republicans are actually the Democrats.
I heard that before, too.
Let me finish, sweetie.
All right, go
okay,
ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
When,
go ahead.
When President, when I, this is Libra. Okay,
yeah, I know who you are. Now I'm going to forget you.
Okay. When President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Bill,
mm-hmm.
he made a comment. He said, there goes the South. Okay, and there went the South. Okay,
mm-hmm.
all the Southern slave owner Democrats, they seceded from the party, and they started a new party called the Dixiecrats. Okay, the party didn't make it, and they didn't want to go back to being Democrats, so they joined the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
So all
How many?
Of those slave owners, Democrats,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they're part of the Republican Party now.
No, and I can prove it. Hold it. Now, wait. No, I got me ain't got much time. So I got to tell you this.
I read it.
That is incorrect.
I read it on. Are you saying
that
it's incorrect?
I read it on.
Yes, totally, totally incorrect. Only one senator became a Republican, and that was Strom Thurmond. Okay? And maybe about three. Wait, listen to me. Wait a minute. Maybe about three or four House members.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. Civil Rights Bill was written while Kennedy was still alive, okay? Kennedy wanted the Civil Rights Bill passed, and he said it's the right thing to do. Okay, now, Kennedy ends up dead, okay, assassinated. They can't explain all of how he got assassinated, who did it, why, et cetera, et cetera. Johnson's sitting there looking real funny, and he got to do something with the doggone unrest in America while he escalates the Vietnam War. Now, let's don't forget something. In 1957, Mr. Johnson single-handedly tried to put down the Civil Rights Bill of 57.
I know that.
Okay,
I know
now,
that.
What do you think made him do it all of a sudden in 64?
He had to bring.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Here go the Dixiecrats. Wait, whoa, let's go with the Dixiecrats now. Now, there was one of us, Barry Goldwater, who voted against the Civil Rights Act. Now, he voted for civil rights in a lot of different places, but this time they took out that civil rights could be states' rights, and so he did not like the thing of states' rights, and he went against it.
Okay.
When he ran for president, he had some of the Dixiecrats that were upset followed him to vote for him. However, they didn't stay because guess what? The Civil Rights Bill was written by Republicans. That's what you
I
don't
know.
That.
Yeah,
okay,
I know.
Well,
yes,
you
I
knew
do.
That. Johnson
yes,
did
do.
Not want to sign that bill. Johnson also said them niggas will vote for us for the next 200 years. So I want that to be very clear. He said we're going to lose the South, but he also said those niggas are going to vote for us for the next 200 years.
Jeff, you
so
got
now,
the point I was making is that
yes, Diva.
The people that you don't like went to the Republicans.
No, they did.
Party
they stayed
in.
Right. They did not. Robert Byrd stayed right in the party, and so did Al Gore's daddy. So did Al Gore's daddy tried to filibuster civil rights. Okay, and then we wanted to go.
Yeah.
We just because he a Democrat, we just not gonna not do our homework and see who people are.
And
he was ready to vote for Al Gore too.
Do you understand what state rights represent?
I sure do.
They bring up,
Ms. Lieber, but a bigger contradiction, a bigger contradiction that Jeff has is really the Democrat and Republican thing is a small one. A bigger one is this. He openly claims Christianity, European Christianity, which he never had before he was introduced to it by a slave master. But he's one of them. That's even a bigger contradiction.
You got to be crazy.
That's even a bigger contradiction.
Who do you think
now,
were
the whole show.
Your point is incorrect, Libra.
It was not Africa. It was
not
Africa. That's a whole different show.
Very few people got in the party as Democrats or Dixiecrats. Okay?
I have a question.
That was put down very succinctly, that move, anyway.
And let me also say, throw this into the mix so that you know. The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, people are people. And, you know, if you look at who is really in the party, a lot of those people from the 60s, they're not dead. But you have to understand the wheels are still moving. Remember that you had a person who was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan named Senator Burr,
right,
who was a part of the Democrat Party. We
never left it.
What I'm saying is we need to quit walking inside of something that we're not a part of and thinking that we have a membership and all we do is cast a vote, whether it be the Democrat Party or the Union.
All I was trying to do was make a point to Jeff.
Yeah,
but see, this is the point that gets made about Jeff and I all the time about the Dixiecrats.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, right now, we all being used.
Hello.
You're being used. You're being filibustered. You're being got.
Bamboozled. Run them up.
Absolutely.
Run them straight.
Absolutely.
Now, when you guys read something, you know, that's what y'all say. I read it. Now, I read something, and you don't want to believe that.
But what we're telling you, what you read was incorrect.
You don't want me, but But you believe everything you read.
No,
right.
I don't just read. I just don't read one piece of literature.
Oh,
I've been researching this for a long time.
I have a question.
Libra, we've been on the air for 5 years.
6 years, almost
6 years,
seven.
I'm sorry. And wow. And as a result, and before, we had to be quite up to date on what's going on. Now, people don't believe
us,
especially black people.
You know what state rights represent when the Republicans go out and politic and they go down south and they bring up
state
rights?
I know what they're insinuating, yes.
Some of them are insinuating.
But it's not, but you have to understand.
What are they insinuating?
You're trying to insinuate that they want to put slaves back into slavery, and that's not what it's about.
No, because that is a federal. It's not going to ever work. Voting rights is a federal. It's not going to ever work. And we're not in danger of going back into slavery.
No,
we're
not
in danger
now.
That's a crazy way of thinking to get you all riled up so that you who don't vote but 38% to 40% in any election will get up and go vote for the guys that say they're for you, but they support agencies that kill you.
I love you guys, but guess what? I'm at the end of my Friday, and I'm at the end of my week, and we'll be back here on Monday. So listen, I appreciate all of the callers, all of the listeners, and everyone. Jeff, thank you for everything. Don't forget tomorrow night, Pam's going to be at
Touch Heaven Ministries,
which is on
10 Skyline Drive in
Canfield,
Ohio. In ministry at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
And don't forget the Oktoberfest is on Sunday. It's going to open doors open at 9 o'clock. I'm going to have you come out and say hello to everyone. It costs $3 to get in. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and we'll see you guys
October the 2nd is my birthday,
Monday.
And y'all get out and vote Obama.
Okay.
You got your
Libra.
You got your commercial going, so you want us to vote Obama.
Hey, Libra.
Hold on, I'm gone.
You got to pay us for that.
Chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand with a message to Christians in the black community.
Y'all be blessed.
And the slavish devotion
Bye-bye.
To the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide. The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot.